The question is, do I have a God complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. If you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone's to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England. And I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis. And you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is! Why, hello there. You are a thoughtless little pig!
The problem is I can't even hear Alec Baldwin talk now without interjecting a whole lot of...
I am going to come and kick your ass!
I finally remember what it's called. Okay.
Okay, what is it?
It's Malice.
Yeah!
Kim Basinger and Bill Pullman.
But Kim Basinger's not in it. It's what's her name, isn't it? Isn't it Nicole Kidman?
It is Nicole Kidman. You're totally right.
So they all drift together, don't they?
They
You were thinking it was not Malice. You were thinking it was something else called, like...
I was thinking of Deceived.
Like a one-word title?
But Deceived is the
Deceived
one with Goldie Hawn.
Deceived is Tom Berenger. No. No, you're wrong again. Deceived is Jane Fonda and Tom Berenger, isn't it?
No, I believe...
Where he's a Klansman?
No, Deceived, it has Goldie Hawn with a guy who pretends to die and then he falls down the elevator shaft.
We're such retards.
I don't know.
This entire segment of the program is brought to you by the Hallmark Channel and my apparent feminization. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Oh, Malice is totally creepy.
Yeah, you know who wrote that speech?
Who?
Aaron Sorkin. That's the only part of the movie he wrote. It's the only part of the movie that's any good. There you go. And, you know, I have more to say about that in just a second. Because he was a script doctor for a long time before he started doing his own work. Because he did A Few Good Men, the stage play. Which I think won some, like, Pulitzer Prize or some crap. He's another one of those freaky prodigies that won a bunch of crap when he was, like, 21. But he wrote A Few Good Men. And then he went to work just being a script doctor. And so they would give him some script, which is just a big load. They'd say, here, this script is just a big pile of feces. Can you fit? And he would just go through and he would fix it or gloss it. Or here's the other way that script doctors, it's not like I have a lot of experience with this. There's two ways that script doctors typically work. One is the sort of J.J. Abrams way, which is where they will come to you and they will say, look... we have all of these disparate elements in the script, and we like all of these various elements, but they don't really work together, and none of them have any relationship to each other. Can you just sort of make it work? And the script doctor goes through, and he inserts things to sort of tie various elements of the plot together that otherwise wouldn't work with each other. That's the first method. The other method, which is easier and more gimmicky, but is probably like one-tenth the work for the script doctor himself, is to just leave the rest of the big, like, dung heap of a script alone and just create one scene that is interesting. And then they'll just use that one scene to pimp the movie, and it's the one scene everybody will tell their friends about. We could do a whole thing about that. I could do that. If I wanted to, I could do 5 hours on that right now. Do you have any idea what it takes to come to a studio and just do
an uninteresting
high-concept topic for 4 hours? What?
Do you think a lot of people have actually seen Malice?
No, but everybody's seen that speech. You know why? Because that speech was the trailer for the film. You can tell that they knew the rest of the movie was doggerel. They just came and they some guy was looking at that speech and he said, well, this is the only good thing in this movie. Let's just put the title card at the end of it and play it, but play it in theaters. And you know why I went to see Malice? Because of that speech. Didn't know who Aaron Sorkin was at the time. Didn't know anything about him. Didn't know anything about, you know, A Few Good Men, any of his other work. I remember this is my hick coming out again. I remember going to the picture house and I was going to see whatever, Jurassic Park or whatever the hell was up. And, you know, from director so-and-so, starring Alec Baldwin. And then they just played that Malice speech. Let me tell you something. I am God. And, you know, my friends are like, that we're totally seeing that. And then, of course, the rest of the movie is just a big steaming pile.
It is not.
It's not very good. The rest of the movie is not that
good. It's not very
good,
but when Bill Pullman finally realizes that he's been had and he breaks into that little beach house and he sticks the needle on the bed and she gets jabbed in the
front of it. I don't even remember. I don't remember anything else from that movie. It's just that. That's all I remember. But so
and the twist at the end is actually pretty good.
See, I don't know what the twist is.
Well, I won't ruin it.
It's the twist when they kill Dumbledore on page 655. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Hey, it's 6 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Tuesday, and welcome to day 12. If you would like to be part of our program today, it's honestly just this simple. My friends, you pick the phone, you dial this number. Scotty J is standing by at this very moment to ferry your calls along through the phone system onto this board in front of me. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's Rick@RickEmerson.com. You can email the rest of everybody at Sarah@970.am, Tim@970.am, or Scotty J@970.am. Many people have been asking if we're going to be selling Scotty J merchandise, such as a large shirt festooned with his visage, which then says below it something about believing his ice. I don't really know that that's in the cards or not, but it is. I have received those emails, so we'll take it under... we'll take it under advisement. I'm not really sure that the world is ready for Scotty J memorabilia and merchandise, but we'll see. All right, it's I got a little hoarseness today going on. I don't know what it is. You know, hold on. Let me have some water. All right, there we go. What was I doing? Yeah, it's 503-733-2970. We'll talk a little bit more about Aaron Sorkin and Malice and all of that here in a second. And a big announcement coming up today as well about something that you may or may not care about. What else is coming up today? It is Tuesday. That means we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger later on today. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard as well. I want to know whether there's this thing on the CNN prep sheet about how they're... it says here, Democrats say they will roll out the cots later today and debate the Iraq war all night long. And I don't know whether that is a figurative thing or a literal thing. I don't know whether they really have to sleep there or not. Because I get the feeling, I don't really know, but I get the feeling...
sleep there most days.
Sir, your vote, please. Sir, we need cloture.
It's almost time for your re-election. Wake up.
Senator Kennedy, it's time for your martini. Well, in any event, so I get the feeling that like the guys in Congress only work like a 3-day week most of the time anyway. So they may actually have to do actual, real labor tonight. And by labor, I mean sitting in a chair and then waiting to push a button. I think that that's how the guys in Congress vote, isn't it? Don't they vote like Commander Pike? They just sit there and two beeps for yes and, whatever. And apparently there's some terror threat. I don't really care about it, but apparently it exists. What else? We are passing over the Chris Benoit news because I'm beyond caring at this point. We will talk a little bit about Rupert Murdoch, who's apparently buying... he's buying the Dow Jones in a company. And here's the thing. Because I'm not all that bright, I don't really know what that means. That's one
he's
of
buying the newspaper.
The Dow Jones in company? What newspaper is that? The Wall Street Journal?
Yeah.
So it's not... because they'll say, well, the Dow Jones today is down 15...
that's different.
What is... so he's not buying that thing?
No, that thing is not for sale.
I know that Tom Likas would be horrified that I have no grasp of my own personal finances, but... because they'll come on the news and they'll say, elsewhere today, the Dow Jones takes a staggering loss with... so what is that when they say that?
That's the stock market. They're not selling the stock market. No.
Are the terms, I should be asking, who needs Steve Kastenbaum? I'll just ask you. Are the terms Dow Jones, is that interchangeable with the stock market?
Yes, pretty much.
When they say the Dow is down.
Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's part of this country.
You've been fired a lot, I can tell. You've been fired way more than I have because
you've
started
fired
taking,
way more than anyone in this building.
You've started to take an interest in your own personal financial stability. I can tell. No, I'm impressed. I really am. A few more firings for me and I'll start to care about my future.
Listen, if you have some of the tenants that I'd have, you'd take an interest and you'd put some
You get a lot of phone calls late at night. Mr. Riley, where is fire extinguisher? I'm sorry.
No, we can all laugh after it's over with. After the fire's been put out, it's a million laughs. But see, I need renters like you.
Okay. Lisa Goddard, Steve Kastenbaum, geek news today. The second kissing audition happens today. So yesterday we had, what's his name, Chad. He photographs well, by the way. You go to rickemerson.com, you can see a photograph of Chad, who was the first guy to offer his services as the kisser.
And the most depressing mugshot ever.
And the worst mugshot in the history of the world.
It's so sad.
If you go to rickemerson.com, and of course he's from Utah, you'll see this mugshot. Have you seen the mugshot on my website?
I have, yes.
It's terrible. It's so bad. It's off the charts. He doesn't even look like a real person. He looks like a Jim Henson Creature Shop invention. Sarah's observation was that, of course, he became a criminal, because really, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you're that guy?
I think he should totally be an extra in movies. Like, if you know, if that happens to you...
In the stage play.
Wouldn't you kind of shop yourself around and be like, hey, look at me.
Like, who's that guy? Totally. Who's that guy... Who's that? Was he in the Road Warrior, and then he was in the Smokin' in the Boys Room video by Motley Crue, and his ears were all pointy and had a weird egg-shaped head, but it was all, like, lopsided? He could be that guy. All right, well, whatever. All right, what else we got? Top five coming up today. And, we'll track Scotty's progress on the guest booking front. People come up. Now, is it true that Andy Dick got his ass beaten by John Lovitz? I've heard that from four or five people today. John Lovitz beat down Andy Dick.
Yep.
Which just sounds like a bad sketch of some kind. So we got a call about that. Somebody asking us a Stephen King question about whatever. This opening segment of the program has sort of become a free-for-all lately, which is fine. So we'll do that here in just a few. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah F. Dillon Y. Hello, and how are you today?
I'm fearing the internet today.
All right. Now, let's put a pin in that and not say why exactly yet, because that'll derail us a little bit.
Okay, but no, I'm doing well. Got some good sleep. Didn't ride my bike today, though, but it was raining, so
yeah, no,
okay.
See, I didn't either, because I got to be someplace at 5, and it's not that I mind riding in the rain, but I left all my rain gear here at the office, because I was like, well, we're out of the rainy season. So I woke up this morning, and it was like raining, and it's like I woke up, and of course, all my rain crap is here. And I'm sitting at, like, looking at the front window of my house this morning. I'm like, well, I have nothing to bike in.
Yeah, I know.
And I wanted to get in and just be a drowned rat, so screw that.
Lisa totally nailed it. That guy looks exactly like the guy who tries to feeds Hannibal to the pigs.
Oh, yeah, no.
Exactly like in the...
Mason Berger or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the creepy looking dude.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Let me drink your sweet tears that taste like wine.
No, I just attribute my driving to laziness. I just didn't want to get wet.
I at least try to come up with an excuse. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, you can expect massive traffic jams when IKEA opens next week. Although it's way over by the airport, so don't ask me how they're predicting that. The Family Values editor, Bitter, is bitter and apologizes for his dealings with the D.C. Madam's escort services.
Now, is he acknowledging it? Because I thought he was still denying it.
He said he had some dealings with the service.
Dealings.
Yeah. And his wife is just standing there falling apart.
I'm so high.
A teenager who took a secret vacation to Iraq a couple of years ago without telling his parents is now off to Afghanistan. Both Seinfeld and Rosie may turn up on NBC's fall schedule. And now they found two girls hiding in a car trunk, but their dad said it was all their idea.
Uh-huh. All right. So there you go. So we got all that coming up and other things and so forth. All right. Well, let's get this one call, and then we'll talk about why we're afraid of the internet today. hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hi, guys. It's Penelope.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I have a question for you regarding Stephen King, Rick.
Okay.
The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. Who would play, if a movie could be made, who would play the gunslinger and who would play the man in black?
Well,
that's all.
All right. Here's the thing. I do appreciate the fact that that was phrased exactly like a talk radio call-in question. It really was. I do. It had exactly the only thing that was missing was the, and I'll listen to your answer off the air. Thank you so much. I have to say this, and I know that this is heresy to the Stephen King fans out there, but I'm actually not a big Gunslinger fan. And I love Stephen King. I really do. Stephen King is one of the great authors of our time. There's just no getting around it. Anybody who says otherwise is just trying to earn cool points. I'm not a big fan of the Gunslinger. It's a little too surreal for me. It's a little too making it up as he goes along, doesn't really know what he's doing, kind of just an excuse to put a lot of weird imagery into a book. They're very well done for what they are. It's not my deal. That being said, I don't really know that I have an answer to that. I got nothing. I think the Man in Black. Who's that guy from Jurassic Park?
Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum and Bill Paxton. Bill Pullman, sir. Penelope Bill Pullman will be the gunslinger, and Bill Paxton the Man in Black.
Oh, the older squinty-eyed guy.
No, the scientist, not Sam Elliott. Sam O'Neill.
The guy looks like Santa Claus.
No, that's Richard Attenborough. No, the guy who hides with the children in a tree. The guy at the beginning who has the raptor claw and he's demonstrating on the fat little kid how the raptor claw would kill you. And he's there with Laura Dern.
Mm-hmm.
He is the guy. But, you know, that's probably a stupid answer. So let's just forget this entire segment of the program. Penelope, you'd be better served taking that question to somebody else. There's that book talk thing on C-SPAN. You could ask them. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So here's, before we talk to Scary J today. So, last night, this is what I did last night section of the program, but this really is about what I did last night, because you're going to be hearing about this all day long. And we really, I think, have outstripped, even now in the era of the internet, where you can get, there's like FARC and there's Dig and there's all of these almost real-time websites where they post sort of news and happenings, and so much of the news on the internet is about the internet itself. Especially with a site like dig.com, which is where I spend a lot of my time. It's not a plug. It's just where I spend a lot of my time. It's where I find a lot of things. Even on a site like that, you find that real-world events happen so fast that there's just no time for anybody in a news reporting sense to keep up with them. And here's what I'm talking about. So last night I went to my... I swear to God, it's like my shrink is moving her office farther away from the city every time I go. It is like I'm slowly being lured out to sea, or like into the witch's cottage in the forest somewhere, where I'll be slaughtered for the Christmas feast. Because I think last time it took me about half an hour to get there. I swear to Christ, it took like 9 hours to drive out to Gresham. And it's just the same. And have you ever done this, where you're trying to drive someplace and it's so far away that you are convinced that you've missed it? Three or four different times during the trip, you'll say to yourself, "Well, I must have gone past it by now. It must be behind. It must be 7 or 8 miles in the rearview mirror. It can't possibly be this far away." And I didn't have my GPS with me, so I'm using the MapQuest instructions, and those are always just... Those MapQuest things are just a crapshoot to begin with, because, I can't count the number of times that MapQuest has tried to drive me, like, straight into the Puget Sound. It's sort of like, from time to time, the MapQuest software becomes self-aware, and it decides to start exterminating humans by driving us right into the side of a mountain somewhere. So I'm driving with MapQuest, and, of course, I'm in a station vehicle, and I'm looking like a menace, because I've got one hand on the wheel, one hand squinting, one hand like holding the instructions on MapQuest as I'm squinting, trying to read them, just courting disaster at every moment. So I finally drive all the way out there, and I have my stupid...
DriveHomeHappy.com is your...
There it is for today. Everybody drink.
You always look at it like it's me.
No, I'm only looking at you because you have the volume knob. So I do my stupid shrink session, and then I pack it up and I leave. But I'm checking my text messages when I'm done. I'm like, well, let's see who texted me while I was getting my head shrunk. And I have probably 5 different text messages from different people in my phone, and they all were at about the same time of night. They were all, maybe 7:30, 7:45 they started coming in, and they all said things like, "Stay away from your email. Harry Potter 7 has been leaked." Every one of them. I got one from Mailman Chris. I got one from Aaron. And they all said, they were just, "Avoid large files in your email. Someone just tried to send me Harry Potter 7. And this is not, by all accounts, and I don't know because I haven't seen it, this is not the I'm just entering full-on dork mode here. This is not the Harry Potter 7 false book, the fanfic book, which is going around. There is, going around the internet, a 700-page piece of fanfiction. And it's by some woman, and she never purports that it's real. She says, like, right in the beginning, like, well, I'm just a really big fan, and I just had some time to kill waiting for book 7, so I thought I'd write my own version of it, so here you go, enjoy it. And it's just some crazy woman in a house somewhere who just sat down and wrote a 700-page Harry Potter novel. This, apparently, though, is the real thing. Apparently somebody, just like that OJ book a few weeks ago, somebody has gotten a hold of Harry Potter 7, they have photographed each page, and then scanned each photo in and made them like a big PDF file. And it's on the internet. It was on the front page of Drudge this morning, too. But as of last night, there was this weird kind of calm before the storm moment last night when I knew about it. I immediately, because I'm a nerd, texted Sarah about it.
You and Aaron back-to-back text messages. He sent one like retards. 3 minutes before you.
Which is like a big geek daisy chain, just emailing you. Look, stay away from your email! It's Harry Potter! It's just like such freaks about it. But there was this weird calm before the storm moment last night around... Because I went to bed at like 11:30 or so, and by the time I went to bed at 11:30, it had still not appeared on any news site, even the internet news sites. It wasn't on Slashdot, it wasn't on Dig, it wasn't on FARC, it wasn't on the Drudge Report. I woke up this morning, and it was, in fact, on the Drudge Report. So I think Drudge...
It was on the Drudge Report that it's been leaked?
Yeah, no, Drudge had a story about it, and Drudge, that guy's got sack. He linked, like, directly to the file. If you went to Drudge Report this morning... And I am not advocating illegal file sharing, obviously. And don't send me the book. Don't be a dick. Don't be an ass. But Drudge had a story, a little headline about Harry Potter 7 being leaked. This was this morning I finally saw this appear. And he linked directly to the file. Now, I don't know if it's still up. It may be gone by now. But
yeah,
like,
I'm looking now.
Man. His link, like, went straight to the book file. So...
Oh,
I don't know.
I see it.
We're living in a strange time, man. And again, the weird thing, and I know I keep going on about this because internet time is sort of fascinating to me. And this, I'm now entering
access
real life.
Denied.
Access denied from CBS.
Well, that's just CBS, though. CBS won't let you link to any site that has torrent in the title.
Hmm.
Not that I know. Not that I'm trying
Are
to do
Katie
it.
Katie Couric into it?
No.
Era,
I would, not that I've attempted to access any torrent
access
sites
denied.
At CBS. No, I wouldn't. I don't know anything about... Funny, though, we can look at porn sites. You just can't look at file-sharing sites. You can look at all the boobs you want, though. So we are delving deep into, like, an NPR-style discussion here, so I'll throttle myself back here in a second. But I am fascinated by the spread of information and how it's what they call the 100th monkey syndrome. Either one guy has it, then two, then four, then eight, then 16, and then, you know, 5 billion people. But there's a single copy... And within, again, about 90 minutes, I had like 5 different people text me about it. Everybody, you know, by midnight on the internet probably heard about it. And, you know, of course, now it's reached, the critical mass with Drudge linking to it. So, the big story. The only thing I'm thinking is there is the ever so slight outside chance that it's a red herring. Because, you know, because what's his name? Who's the Survivor guy? Mark, who's the guy that does Survivor? Why have I immediately lost that information? That was a thing I used to know. Well, the guy who created Rockstar Supernova and Survivor, Mark Burnett, he, you know, has been known to plant fake spoilers on the internet, fake pages that look like they've been hacked, results that look like they've been leaked. I suspect this is the real thing, though. I really do. So,
you do?
I do. My gut
Are you going to start reading
I
it on the internet?
Well, you know, Mailman Chris already has. Chris has already, he's like, I'm reading it right now so some jackhole doesn't spoil it for me. And I'll say this right now. It's not like my world will be shattered if I learn the ending.
Well, because you know that we work in media and it is going to be ruined for us. Like, you just need to understand that some jerk is going to call up and be like, you know, Harry dies on page 242.
Like one of those guys. Have you seen those YouTube videos from the last one? I almost have to admire this. It's a bunch of YouTube videos of guys driving by bookstores at midnight where there's dudes in line. And it's just them in cars going, Dumbledore dies on page 700, you know, driving by. I mean,
you're waiting in line on Friday, right?
Totally.
Maybe like, if I slip you some coin, will you maybe pick me up a book? No, I know
poser.
You won't.
Poser!
I've never claimed that I want to wait in line, but I really do want to read the book.
Well, I'm just saying. Well, I'm going to buy it and lock myself. I'm going to buy 2 copies because I know Laura wants to read it, too. So let me just say this for the
maybe
record.
Maybe you should buy 3 copies.
We'll see. We'll charge you a certain... I think there might be a limit, though. They might actually put a limit on how many you can buy at Powell's.
Let's see. We should call Powell's.
Yeah, we should totally do that. Scotty, get somebody from Powell's on the phone. Let me just say this, and this is for the record. It's not like my whole life is going to be shattered if I learn the ending to Harry Potter. Because, let's be honest, the books aren't... It's not like the Blair Witch Project,
it's
where you're only...
the experience of reading the book.
It's, you know, you some things you only read for the final 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And again, the Blair Witch Project is always the definitive example of that for me. You're only... Or an M. Night Shyamalan film. You're only watching for the final resolution. Harry Potter books are great in and of themselves. They have great reread value. I reread books all the time to which I know the ending. It would be nice if I didn't know the ending. It's not good. I mean, I'll still read it regardless. It'll still be great. It would be nice if some Nelson Muntz dick wasn't walking around the mall with a T-shirt that says Harry dies, you know, or something. That would be nice, you know, but we'll see. Well, we should take... Have I not done anything else? God damn. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, I was calling about that gunslinger question.
Of course you were. Welcome to Rick Emerson's Book Hour. Yes.
Snape killed Dumbledore. I was thinking Ray Liotta and the guy that played Gandhi.
Oh, Ben Kingsley.
Yes, that's it.
I could see, and again, I have to recuse myself again from this because I read the first two Gunslinger books and then I just sort of lost interest. Not really my deal, but I know there are many people who consider that his finest work, Stephen King's finest work, after The Stand.
The first few were very good. I really hated the last two. I mean, it was like, God, I've waited 15 years for this.
Yeah.
This sucks.
And Stephen King himself said at many points that he never knew what the story was. He didn't know how it was going to end. He was just, even more so than normal, he was just making it up. And Stephen King actually said a couple times that he figured it was for a long time that he would die before completing it. It was just this endless series, and he figured he wouldn't even leave to finish it. So.
Well, I wish he had, because the ending
I wish you died, Stephen King. All right. Thank you, sir.
Best show ever already.
Thank you, my friend. I just hung up on somebody. I'm sorry. I just hit the button twice. I'm sorry to whoever that guy was. Is this mailman Chris?
It is.
Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. I'm going to preface. I'm not saying nothing about the content of the book.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
The file download actually isn't a PDF file. It's just images.
Oh, so it's literal just photos, snapshots
literal
of Harry
photos.
Potter 7.
And I mean, I'll tell you, and I'm not ashamed to say, I've started reading a little bit of it. I may even finish before the weekend.
Uh-huh.
But I'm reading it, you know, from start to finish. I'm not skipping to the end to see what, you know, what the end was. I'm actually writing a review for the Oregonian.
Oh, that's right. You're one of the guys. The Oregonian is running that contest to get, you know, the people to write reviews. You're actually doing one of the Harry Potter reviews for the Oregonian.
Yeah, they said I was selected out of like 500 people. I was one of the people selected.
Excellent.
So.
Well
very
done.
Cool.
And so I figured, you know, hey, any bit of a head start I can get on reading it, and then I can kind of reread it over the weekend once I get my copy. You know, when I stand in line Friday night, like a geek, too.
How is it so far?
I'm not talking about
the
content.
See, he's not
going to
say anything. He's not going to say a single thing. That's fine. I can respect that.
I got your back.
All right. Thank you, sir.
But I'll tell you, though, don't go out of your way. If you can find it, and a lot of the sites have already pulled it, because I'm pretty sure they're on them. Like white on right.
Oh yeah, but, well Rowling's, you don't want to screw with that empire.
The publisher, there was a story, the publisher actually hired paid 10 million pounds for some sort of a security company to ensure, like the books have like GPS, the trucks have GPS tracking units in them.
Right.
That can show a deviation of less than a foot.
That's
insane.
I mean,
it's insane. But the file itself, it's snapshots. And so it's like the book is bent, and sometimes like the word is.
Oh yeah, because you know whoever was photographing Harry Potter 7 is every 5 seconds is looking over his shoulder for a Pinkerton security guy to come break his skull.
I'll tell you, it looks from the picture. It looks like you see carpet, you see an empty can off in the side. It totally looks like someone sitting on their living room floor, and it's a small hand like a kid.
Oh, you know that right now. Whether the book is released or not, you know that there is somebody in an office somewhere, and they are finding the person who did that, and they're going to take them into a room and beat them to death. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, you know it. Well, I mean, we'll get our copies at the post office on, like, Thursday from Amazon.
Now, what happens to those Harry Potter copies at the post office?
Well, they're in boxes. Each box, you know, is sealed and with a scan point. Then that's on a pallet, and those will be, like, shrink-wrapped.
Uh-huh.
And then another shrink wrap over top of it with a big sign says, do not break seal until Saturday.
Right.
You know, it's not like we've got an armed security guard from the publisher standing over watching it.
But it's clearly like the real deal. I mean, they're not screwing around.
But it is absolutely, and the security is even tighter this year. I remember when 5 came out, we got the books like 4 or 5 days in advance, and they just sat there in a big stack.
Yeah, those days, that time has passed.
You know, now we're getting them like Thursday night, and they absolutely can't be touched. My copy is going to my P.O. box, which is at my station. I still can't touch it. It'll still sit in that stack
until great.
Saturday morning.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend, and happy reading.
Take it easy, guys.
Mailman Chris.
So I was reading this thing on the internet this morning about this guy who works at Borders Books. He decided to open one of the boxes and just sat there and read the entire thing in the back of his thing. He read the entire book and then put in his 2 weeks' notice at the very end of it.
See, I'm already getting this. Here's the subject line of this email. That's important genius. Harry Potter info.
Don't open it.
But who knows? It could be something like, hey.
What is so dire that you need to know right now?
What if the info this guy's telling me is, hey, that it turns out that's a fake?
Then you're not reading it anyway, so why does it matter?
I suppose.
Harry Potter needs to make an emergency deposit into your checking account.
Hello, my name is Harry Potter. My greetings and salutations to you in the great land of America. All right. All right, should I... well, let's just get one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi, now, how can I help you?
You heard about the earthquake in Japan, was it yesterday morning?
Yes.
The BBC just announced that the officials at the nuclear power plant there admitted, okay, yes, nuclear waste did get into the water, but the nuclear waste barrels that cracked also released a significant cloud of nuclear gas that should be over here in the Pacific Northwest any time now.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right.
Well, the Japanese are used to radioactivity.
Well, no, they're probably immune to it by now.
Yeah.
All right.
They've had 50 malfunctions at that power plant. So
that's
far.
Fantastic.
But we don't have to live there.
No. All right. We're all going to look like that guy from the end of RoboCop. We should probably break here. Coming up, we got Lisa Goddard. What else? We got the Steve Castamon coming up later on. See, this is the sort of thing we should be... Can I just tell you this? We really, because I care about our relationship with CNN, even though they don't care about us, we really ought to be tipping them to this Harry Potter story. They ought to be having a guy on this right now. I'm going to tell Lisa that. I'm going to give her the heads up. She's a nerd. All right, later on, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. More of your phone calls. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. So it begins. I'm looking at my email here. Now, see, I can't just not read my email. I'm just going to have to plunge on in.
Before you're going to have to be zen with it.
Well, that's Lisa Goddard. We won't come to the scouting here. Looking at it right now. Here's one. Important Harry Potter info. Okay, here's what I just did. So I opened this email that said important Harry Potter info. And then I swear to God, I was sort of like squinting and sort of turning away from the computer. Like reading one eye. Okay, this does not appear to be a... this is not spoilerific. He says, Rick, you and Sarah want to read... hold on.
Is it a spoiler?
No, it's not. No, he's a guy telling us how he thinks we can get the inside line on a physical copy. But... but you know what? I'm all about the standing in line.
Send it to me.
Cool. I like the standing in line. It's cool. And you know what? And it's
that's because you're a lot more tolerable. I can't handle that. I can't stand on the street with a bunch of people dressed like wizards and people being rude and yelling. Because if somebody ruins it for me,
well, there was nothing.
And if I have a pocket knife near me, I swear I'm gonna stab somebody.
There was no. You know the line is completely civil. Have you not done it before?
No.
There's no. There's no violence at a Harry Potter line. Have you seen people who read Harry Potter books?
No, I'm not saying there's violence, but after they open the counter and then somebody, opens up a book and reads like a crucial part and yells it and ruins
maybe.
It for the whole line.
I mean, I guess maybe.
Because this one's different than the rest of them. This is the last one, and people are just going to go out of their way to be dicks.
I suppose it's possible that that there's somebody who stands in line just for the sole purpose of going, Vader is Luke's father! So I guess it's possible. I'll do it just for the experience, though, because as I said, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, and then we got to move on. But I really do think there is something great about so many people, and so many kids especially, in line, like around the block at midnight to read a book.
It totally is.
I mean, that really is just one small bulwark against the increasing, idiocracy that this country is slowly descending into. So, there you go. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, the fashionably attired and dangerously intelligent Lisa Goddard. Why? Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Well, hello. I can't believe you're worried about spoilers and nobody has the book yet. Right?
Don't they, Lisa? Don't they? Now, would you... Now, here's the thing. Now, I was going to have Scotty talk to you about this off the air, but here's the thing. Because Rick Emerson cares.
Right.
Rick Emerson cares about his relationship with CNN, even if CNN does not always care about its relationship with Rick Emerson.
Okay.
I, in the past, have tipped Jim off to some West Coast stories that are happening that he might be interested in. For instance, when that OJ book was leaked onto the Internet a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I put Jim in...
Wow, well, yeah.
Yeah, I put Jim in touch with that. I'm like, hey, here's this copy of the OJ Simpson book that sneaked onto the net. Maybe you want to do something with it. So I'll give you the heads up here. So Harry Potter 7, Lisa Goddard, has been leaked onto the Internet as of last night around 8 p.m.
Oh, no kidding. I'm way out of it. I had no idea.
Well, there's a whole phenomenon here. And again, maybe you might be one of like three people on Earth that would find this an interesting discussion. Everybody else will only... This is a conversation that would be really interesting to everybody else if it was like 2 a.m. You were in college really stoned with like a lava lamp and your Jim Morrison poster on the wall. Then you'd be sitting there going, does that mean one atom in my fingernail could really be someone else's whole galaxy? This is that kind of a conversation. So I will say that I am fascinated by Internet time, which is
right.
Both the perception of time on the Internet and the time that it takes for information to travel. I had this whole thing about how on the Internet, it's always around 2 a.m. There's this vibe on the Internet. It's always like a casino, around 1:30, 2 a.m. on the Internet.
Right.
I'm also fascinated by what... What was that guy, Ken Keyes Jr., termed the 100th monkey syndrome, which is the transfer of information from group to group. And the fact that, you know, one, the exponential spread of information, one person, then two, then four, then eight, and then the next thing you know, there's like 60 billion people who know something. And this, I am also fascinated by the viral spread of certain bits of information, such as... certain pieces of video on the net that are taken by one person, one camera guy, and then suddenly it becomes a piece of photography that everybody has seen.
Right.
The Internet facilitates those things. So, here's the thing. So, last night around 7:30, I was at an appointment. I get out. I'm checking my text messages. And I had about five different text messages from different people saying, watch your email. Be careful of large attachments. Harry Potter 7 has been leaked, and it's making the rounds. And these are people, you know, whose opinion, you know, who obviously were able to, can spot the real deal. These are not people who are easily fooled. Because there were some pieces of fan fiction going around and so forth, but this
right.
is apparently the real deal. I kept checking the Internet, and there was no news about it, not on any of the geek sites, not on any of the tech sites. I couldn't find any of the message boards. There was nothing about it. But I'd heard it from enough people independent from each other that I believed it to be true. And I sent Sarah Dillon a text last night, like, watch your email, be careful. There's somebody sending Harry Potter around. Now I woke up this morning, and it was on the front page of Drudge. And Drudge, you want to talk about a guy with stones. That guy was linking directly to it.
Wow.
He was linking directly to the file, which I don't know if he still is. We're not able to access it because of CBS's firewall policies.
Whoa.
But the word is, and we've heard it confirmed this morning from several people who have seen it and are reading it, that it is photographs. It is a whole file that is each page of the book photographed and then scanned in.
I had a feeling it was going to be, that's hilarious.
And
wow.
And the guy said you can see the hand of the person who's holding it. You can see like a living room in the background. And it's just somebody holding up the book and taking pictures of each page with a digital camera. So there you go. So if there's a, I'm passing that along to CNN if they would like to, fabricate some report.
I'm in touch right now and I don't see it.
Well, he may have taken it down because you know what? Leaked or not, the Rowling people will find you and break your legs.
Boy, will they ever.
I mean, they spent £10 million, we've heard from a few people. Finding security companies, you know, to crack down on this. So
that woman gets together with Oprah, and it will just be a world dictatorship.
Seriously, they ought to run for grand, irremovable dictators of the universe. So anyway, so there's a little tip for the CNN folks: the leaking of Harry Potter 7, which apparently has now happened.
That's amazing.
So so you can pass that along to whoever does, you know, whoever hands out assignments like that. There's a little little pop culture news for the people, Lisa. All right. Well, let's see what else are we talking about here. So this business that it says here on the prep sheet about Democrats say they will roll out the cots later today to debate the Iraq war all night long. So this, I mean, obviously that's a figurative thing, but this isn't. You always hear these stories, or you see in movies like, you know, like a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington type thing, where literally there's some debate or some filibuster, and there's guys who are like are there for like 3.5 days debating something. But I mean, this isn't.
They're making this seem really dramatic, this all-night debate on the Iraq war. But is it really? I mean, are we really at any kind of a flashpoint with this?
No.
I didn't think so.
I really think this is a major – it's two things. It's mainly PR, but it is also it's a game of chicken between the Democrats and Republicans. And basically the Democrats are like, oh, yeah, well, we'll put 5 more pounds on our weight. You know, and they're sort of saying – the Republicans have blocked this, a lot of these changes in Iraq, all these proposals, by essentially filibustering, which, you know, you don't have to do it the old-fashioned way anymore. You don't have to stand there and talk the whole time. Now a filibuster can be accomplished just by making that threat and saying that we'll, if we have to, we'll stand here and talk. But they really never do it. Well, the Democrats are saying, oh, yeah, well, if you say that you need all this time to debate and you're going to block the bill for the sake of keeping debate open, well, that's great. Let's debate it. So I'll see you tonight at 11 o'clock. Bring your pillow. So it's a little bit of this back and forth. And in the middle of the night, there will be some big guys taking the floor. Dick Durbin, the Senate whip from Illinois, is going to be – he told me he's got the 3 to 4 a.m. shift. I don't know how he got stuck with that. I think he picked it for, again, probably for PR value. But they'll be here. You know, Mel Martinez from Florida has got 11 to 1 a.m. They're divvying it up. There will be cots involved, but I'm not sure that any senator really will be using them.
All right, and it says here that CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will be on Capitol Hill all night.
Keeping it real.
Yes, yes.
That's what I'll be doing.
Holding it down for the 202.
Oh, wait, you know what? Here, I do see this. Not that that matters. I do see the Harry Potter link now on the Drudge Report.
So. Yeah, so I'm amazed that thing is still up.
There's a problem with it. It doesn't come up with a link to it.
I would imagine that that site has been in the internet patois. That site has been farked. I would imagine that site has been... I cannot imagine the assembled geek weight leaning on that link right now.
Yeah, you forget it. Forget about it. But, well, yeah, I mean, well, that's good news for the senators anyway, trying somehow to segue. That's something for them to do.
Yes, so they can while away the hours learning about the fate of Voldemort.
Or worse, if they really want to piss off the American public, if they want even lower approval numbers, then they probably could just read it out loud.
The Democrats should just threaten to reveal the ending of Harry Potter 7 if the Republicans don't cave. Or George Bush, you know, George Bush, who is sort of a Voldemort figure, his own self. George Bush, you're going to tell them, and I will reveal the end of Harry Potter 7 unless the Democrats agree to indefinite troop placement in Iraq. Choose now, you know, and then just stand and stare fixedly and unblinkingly into the camera. I think that might actually sway the American people.
Sometimes I think that we are almost there.
No.
That's really almost where we are right now.
All right. Well, we'll bring the curtain down on this. Are you are you a Harry Potter fan?
I am. You know, I've got to admit, I've only read like the first two though. But I'm a fan of the whole of the genre of the whole thing, the whole Harry Potter thing.
Harry Potter is the scat
Harry
film
Potter,
based on
of course
the.
I do also of MASH fame, big fan.
You the are you referring to Donna Mike right now?
Of course, I was going to bring. I was seeing if you caught it.
Donna Mike do that great bit, the Harry Potter, but it's Harry Morgan who is Colonel Potter from MASH, and well, I'm fighting Voldemort. And it's a whole lot of you really ought to pick it up at some point because the third book, which is The Prisoner of Azkaban, is, in my opinion, that's where the series really got rolling. The first two are good.
Really?
That, in my assessment, not the best book, but it is the book. It was at that, up to that point, it was the best. But the third book was the one that really where the rubber hit the road for me with Harry Potter. So
a lot more in the books that's not in the movies.
No, it's true. And, that's why that Order of the Phoenix movie is getting not bad reviews, but people, you know, say like an 800-page book put into 2.5 hours. I mean, that's going to be tricky. So I will say, and I said this earlier in the month, that the biggest, I hate the word kudo, but the biggest bit of praise that I can give to J.K. Rowling is that her writing has always reminded me of a famed children's author, Roald Dahl. She is the closest thing I think we've got to a living Roald Dahl right now, and that's pretty high praise for me. So,
wow.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy staying up all night and drinking with Ted Kennedy or whatever it is you're going to do to while away the hours.
My friend, yes.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right, there, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you, Lisa. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Well, I got these calls. We got the phone started doing that weird beepy thing. All right. Well, before we do anything else.
Daddy J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Why, hello, Scotty J. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Crabtree.
How are you today?
Super.
Oh, Scott.
Are you really?
I'm super depressed.
Why?
The sun is not out, and as usual, the stars that were to come on the Rick Emerson show are just, it's a joke.
They're dimming.
Like, what yeah. stars? If
well, you can forget about Rush.
I never seriously believed you were going to be able to get Rush on the program. Would you like to know what Scotty's brilliant observation this morning was to me? And by brilliant, I mean something that I told him like 3 days ago right here on the show.
Well, I've kind of been doing what you told me 3 days ago, sort of.
Scotty comes up to me this morning, he goes, Rick, I have an idea. And I said, what is that? And he said, from now on, I'm not going to say I'm from AM 970. I'm going to say I'm from CBS Radio.
Oh.
Which is exactly what I told you, like, on Friday.
We both told you that.
Well, I know that I've kind of always... I have done that in the past, right? But I am now going to say I represent CBS Radio here in Portland because I do.
Yes.
And it's not
well,
a lie.
Yeah,
so.
I know. We told you that last week.
Well, I didn't
that opens
really
a lot more doors
together.
Than saying AM 970.
Yeah.
Because it's not even about AM versus FM as such.
It's all the CBS programs here in Portland.
Well,
basically.
I guess my point is, you seem to, I mean, I know that you think it's because you're saying you're from an AM station, and it's not really an AM versus FM issue. It is that when people who don't live in Portland are told, like, you know, I hear this from listeners sometimes, like, yeah, I'm trying to get my buddy Tex to listen to your program, you know, and I told him it was on AM, you know, blah, 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 and he didn't want to listen because people, when they hear AM, they assume that it is some sort of tedious right-wing conservative blather. You know, they assume it's like some Lars Hannity-type crap, which, I mean, come on. I mean, really, honestly, who wants to listen to that? So, especially if you're talking to, you know, like, hey, you guys, progressive rock band Rush, do you want to come on an AM station? And they, you know, and they automatically assume it's some terrible sub Limbaugh type program.
Well, I'm finding this out because I got the same response from Alice Cooper's camp.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And
so,
here's the canned response they all give me.
I'm sorry.
Due to their
so busy.
Hectic. Hectic tour schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, we're talking about them coming up to Clark County on Saturday, and it doesn't even start until the evening.
You're all taking it personally.
7 or 8 o'clock at night or whatever, uh-huh. And they can't spend 5 minutes on the phone for their fans here in Portland.
They don't care about their fans, Scotty.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Or you. They don't like you, and
anyways,
they don't like the fans.
They're publicist, the guy that...
This is for Rush, the band?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy works for Atlantic Records, right? And he has a whole bunch of bands under him. Anybody else you want to talk to, I'll be sure to make sure that happens for you.
Did he use those
anybody
words?
Anybody but Rush.
Did he use those words?
Basically, he goes, yeah, you know.
Or did he say, anybody else, I'll pass it along or something
no,
like that?
No, he didn't say pass it along. He acted like he'd make it happen for me. And on
did
top
he,
of
did he provide you with a list of said other bands?
No, he said any other Atlantic, you know, artist. I'd be happy to.
Well, I guess what I'm saying
know,
is
set
that,
something
but,
up with
but
you.
But did you follow up and say get me that? Let
no,
me know.
I just put thank you.
I'm like, see what is that? The guy says
I was
oh,
pissed.
Scotty.
No, I just said thank you because
so,
I was pissed, and I'm a busy guy. I'm busier than they are. My schedule is more hectic than Rush.
So he said anybody else on Atlantic Records?
And then
get?
Scotty immediately just ignored that. No. We can't get Rush. We don't want anybody. Thanks for checking with us, by the way.
I'll figure something out.
All right, we'd like Bjork.
Would we?
Yeah, and just send an email back to
Kid
him
Rock.
Immediately today after he
I
says
should
that.
Interview
the whole list.
I just want Bjork
to
so I can
guys.
Just interview her in her own
and
voice.
And Notorious B.I.G., please.
Hello, Bjork! All right. Well, there you go. Well, at some point, try to find out. If that guy's serious about booking a hook, because you know Atlantic Records acts come through town a lot.
I think it was the nice, serious Scotty J blow off. Is what I think.
Mm-hmm. How's Dick Van Patten coming?
That looks good. Believe it or not,
I do believe it. I'd be stunned. By the way, let me just say this up front: I will be stunned if you can't get Dick Van Patten on the show. If you are unable to get Dick Van Patten on this program, really, it calls into question all your efficacy with everything.
Well,
I'm
changing my name, and I represent CBS.
What is your name? What do you call yourself now? Have you given yourself an alternate persona?
My first name's Johnny. My last name's On the Spot.
Go away, please. We'll get these, then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you know, I hear you talk about the corporate firewall all the time.
Yeah.
I used to work for the government, and I love eBay. So I searched on the internet for anonymous web surfing.
Uh-huh.
They have these websites that you can go to that some of them are pay, some of them are free, but the free ones you create an account and give them an email address, and then you go to the site and you punch in the address of where you want to go, and it'll take you there.
Oh, yeah, and it sort of masks it. It's sort of like an anonymizer of
totally.
Sorts. Yeah. There's also one that somebody sent me the best link a while back. I wish I'd saved it. It was this fantastic website you went to, and it made, this is so genius, it made any website you were looking at appear to be a Microsoft Word document. It stripped out the images, so it was all text, but any site you were looking at, it removed the images, just made it text, and it framed it, and it looked exactly like you were working in Microsoft Word. It was so great. It was among the best things I've ever seen. I wish I'd saved the email address for it. It's massively useful.
Probably would have saved me a job or two.
Seriously. All right. Well, if you find something like that, you pass the link along.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. All right. Is this a real traffic report? All right. We got a real quick traffic report. Then we'll break and we'll come back with Tim Riley. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What is your traffic report, sir? Madam, is the case?
Hey, Rick. Down at 65th and Southeast Powell, I know how you're a big fan of the sinkholes, and they've got one going on there that has shut down the westbound lanes.
A sinkhole in the middle of Powell? Really?
Dude, yeah, it's awesome. They got a broken water main, so it's
at 65th. That's like by, there's like a 7-Eleven in that area, and there's like a bunch of sleazy hotels.
Yeah, absolutely, the sleaziest.
All right, excellent. It's part of the Chinese.
Hey, Rick.
Seriously, yes.
Hey,
yes.
Rick, really quick, I just wanted to say that this morning I was listening to another radio station in the CBS cluster, and they said that the skate park up in Vancouver had been vandalized. Unfortunately, they came up with the wrong sound, and they started playing the sounder for the toxic waste leaking into by the gallons, and I was just... Yeah, it was the most hilarious thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I see. So it was closed because of toxic waste and so forth.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're done. I'll take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth with the noon news hour. Let's see what else. Later on, Steve Kastenbaum, top five. A little more, undoubtedly more Harry Potter discussions. There's no way around that today. And what else? Well, in the further trials and travails of one Scotty the J. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Was it one of those dreams where the buttons wouldn't work?
No, the buttons are working, but I kept playing, I would look at it, and I would think I'm clicking the right thing, and then it would play the wrong one, and then Tim got mad at me.
Yeah.
Did I yell?
No, you just gave me a look.
She gave you the stern, disapproving gaze. Yeah, the arched eyebrow. I'm very disappointed in you.
Because every time I play something, I'd end up playing the new news sounder.
Yeah. I have those dreams where I can't cue up a record. It's like I got a vinyl record. And I put the needle down, and I keep spinning it with my finger to advance to the audio. That's how you used to cue up a manual. You manually cue up a vinyl record. But I just keep turning the record, and it never gets to the vinyl part. That end, I've told everybody about this. I had this dream. The phone lines are full, and they're flashing, but I can't answer them. I just press the button, and the phone lines will never pick up. All right. Rick, final email I'll read here, and then we'll go to the news hour. Rick, please, please, please tell me where I can find Harry Potter 7. I am not one of those dicks that gives away the ending, but I am one of those guys that will hear it from someone. Please, 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 passing the word, best show ever. I don't even think the link, I don't have the link handy. I don't think it's up anymore. I think it's probably down. But all I will say is this. Of course, I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm just saying that there was an article about it on the Drudge Report, but I don't think that is up anymore. And I will say this, we have this here. There's a little final bit of business about this. Let's see, the news source for Harry Potter, which is, wait for it, MuggleNet.com, has posted this news release. Scholastic, which is the publisher of Harry Potter 7, The L.A. Times is reporting that the U.S. Harry Potter publisher has obtained a subpoena to learn the identity of a user who allegedly posted copies of Deathly Hallows on a website. Scholastic Books said in a court filing the materials hosted on the photo system on photobucket.com's system contain materials that infringe copyrights, blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, so there you go. So they're going to find the guy who did this, and they're going to F him up, but good, just so you know.
Oh, and that guy who went on videotape after he quit Borders and read the whole thing.
They'll find you. They'll find you, and they will make you wish you were dead. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, how can we keep up this business as usual with all this excitement going on here?
I don't know, Tim.
What can I do to top that? I do know there's a big sinkhole that has closed down Southeast Powell at 64.
So great.
So I wonder if this is part of like the China syndrome due to this Japanese nuclear reactor.
Jack Lemmon somewhere taking Jane Fonda hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had at least 50 malfunctions since the earthquake yesterday. Shigeo Fujinami of the Federation of Electrical Power of Japan said the company's nuclear reactors are set to minimize risk in the event of earthquake.
Tokyo Electric Power says there's no environmental effect outside of the power plant in terms of the radioactivity. There's no influence to the outside of the environment.
In five of the reactors, major exhaust pipes were snapped. And they're investigating whether or not they leak radioactive material. You think that's possible?
No.
And then about 100 drums containing nuclear waste fell at the plant during the quake. They were found later in the day, some of their lids open. A small amount of radioactive material, cobalt 60 and chromium 51, have been emitted into the atmosphere from an exhaust stack. And well, they don't think it's very dangerous.
The public was in no danger at any time. No.
They have seven plants there. And the three of them were under maintenance, regular maintenance. So it has been already shut down before the earthquake.
All right. Okay, so there you go. So we're all going to die from any number of things, but now this is the latest. This is the latest straw on the we're all going to die camel's back. So there you go. I thought that, look, I understand these things happen in America, but I sort of thought the Japanese had a better handle on this. I mean, I guess it's
an earthquake's an earthquake.
I know there's an earthquake,
but bigger earthquakes than California has.
Is that true?
I think so. Yeah, they're always having earthquakes.
What is that city? Is that Kobe where they have that city? Was that the earthquake?
They don't talk about that anymore.
And, you know, that's a thing that you're right, that there was. Let me get a handle on myself here inside my head. I'm just trying to get all my thoughts in order. So, earthquakes are earthquakes, but I guess I sort of assumed that there would be
6.8.
more contingency plans, that the Japanese would have sort of a better handle on how to prevent these sorts of mishaps in the event of something like an earthquake. They just seem a little more responsible than we do. In America, we're so just a haphazard. We're just very laissez-faire about the whole thing. You know what nobody in America talks about anymore is Three Mile Island.
No.
I mean, Three Mile Island. Sarah, do you know what Three Mile Island is?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody even talks about that anymore. It's like it never, the Love Canal, it's like none of it ever took place. It's just, and I'm not saying that, I'm not being some nutty conspiracy guy and saying that, but it just seems like that is the thing that is very deliberately downplayed. So I guess I just sort of assumed that they kind of had their act together. What with all, because how do I put this politely? Because Japan does have sort of a history with things that are radioactive and will kill you. So I would think that they would go out of their way to make sure that those things were not going to happen again in the future.
You would think so.
Well, what do I know? So
these are minor troubles. Pose no threat to people or the environment.
No, they don't pose any threat to people in Japan because the wind has apparently taken is blowing it right toward Oregon. So go outside and inhale deeply, kids. I mean, that's what you
I
know.
Mean, not that you notice. Take a look at some of the people from some of these small towns. It looks like it got here a long time ago.
Well, we do live in a fairly radioactive part of the country. I mean, that's just a given.
Yes.
We have the Umatilla Arms Depot, which is where they burn sarin nerve gas. I used to live in Utah, which is right by Tooele, which is where they burn nerve gas. There's the Tri-Cities a couple hours north of here, which is where they bury thousands of barrels of leaking. But seriously, there is, and nobody ever believes this until I take them there. But there is in my hometown, if you sort of view my hometown, the Tri-Cities, the three small cities together. But if you go to my hometown of the Tri-Cities, there is the Hanford Nuclear Facility Museum you can go through. And there is a whole section of the museum where it's sort of like a, not a diorama, what is it? It's sort of a, but it's like a cutaway. it's like a cutaway representation of how they bury nuclear waste. And it's sort of like they've taken a huge chunk of the soil about 15 feet down into the ground, pulled it out, and then you can look at it from the side. You can like, so you can sort of see the soil layers as they go all the way down. And in the middle of it is a barrel which they have put there to simulate the leaking of toxic waste into the ground. Because that's a thing that just happens all the time in my hometown. I mean, that's why there are three-headed fish in the Columbia River. So, I mean, it's... So the idea that... I mean, it really is just one more layer of icing on the radioactive cake that's going to kill us all someday. I mean, you are all going to die of massive tumors inside your head. There's just no getting around it. It's just going to happen.
You can thank the people of the Tri-Cities.
Yes.
The cities that try.
It's what we do.
Oh, we need Clyde Lewis for this. This story comes from the AP. Military officials say 25 heavily armed parachuters... Well, parachutists, I should say, who landed in a cornfield in the grounds of a Colorado prison last week, were on a training mission but landed 3 miles off target. These were Special Operations Command forces conducting routine training, said one. Guards who stopped the men and asked for identification were presented with documents that identify them only as Defense Department employees. We don't know who they are, and we don't know what they were doing. But apparently everybody acted appropriately.
All right.
The good news is everyone was quick to assess the situation. Whatever that means.
I don't know. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Did I hear you did not bike today?
I failed to bike both yesterday and today. Yeah, yesterday I had kind of an excuse. Today I was just lazy.
I was wondering if you had the dollar amount that you've screwed the handicap out of lately.
I think they're called retarded now, sir.
Okay.
You know, I had to put a permanent link to that on my website. I don't have it here. What is it, Emerson Challenge? Hold on, I can tell you right now. .blogspot. This will not represent today, I think, because Seamus listens on the podcast, and so I think he gets it like 10 or 12 hours later or something.
Have you at least biked half of what you said you were going to do?
Well, let's find out. Let's see. There are a total of $7,700 in pledges. I have biked 27 days as of yesterday, but failed to bike 18 days. I have earned $800.28, but I have, in the words of Seamus, stolen from the retarded $533.53.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just shut your hole like you've done so much to help them.
So on a grading scale, you'd be like getting a D right now, huh?
Yeah, but you know, if I was in the Major League Baseball, you know, with that, if I had that, I would be a Hall of Famer. I'd be an All Star if that was my batting average.
True. Hey, also, is Scotty still on the wagon for the smoking?
Well, he claims that he is. We haven't checked in with him about that as of today. We have our second kissing volunteer coming in today, and we'll find out if he's still on the wagon, sir.
Great. I will leave if he can hear by just saying I am smoking a cigarette and have a wonderful day. Sorry he can't.
Thank you.
Bye
now. All right. This email just says, Rick, that's no sinkhole. That's Millie. She works that corner on Tuesdays. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a motorcycle is trying to get away from a policeman. Smacks into a truck and dies. This happened in McMinnville about 1:15 this morning. They tried to stop Jason Buck from speeding on Baker Street in that town of McMinnville. I knew you were going to do that. He crashed into the driver's side of a Chevy pickup. The pickup then careened into the side of a house on Northeast 8th, and the motorcyclist was dead on the scene. He had 3 probation warrants issued for his arrest. So what's he doing driving around in the middle of the night? On Baker Street.
I don't even have the song handy. I'm looking right now to see if I
can probably tuck that up still. Really long.
Wait, hold on. I think I might have this.
I think it's like a 50-second intro to that.
Where the hell did my Baker Street go?
I know. It's been like a day since I've heard the song.
I don't know. Where did I put it? I had it. Oh, here we go. It's right here. Where was he, Tim?
I can start this again if you roll that underneath me.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Smooth.
A motorcyclist crashes into a truck and dies trying to escape the police. A motorcyclist who would not stop when police tried to pull him over crashed into a pickup truck early this morning. Happened around 1:15. Police tried to stop Jason Buck from speeding on Baker Street.
Where?
Baker Street. I hit the post, though. Near Keck Drive. He continued northbound on Baker Street and entered a residential neighborhood, where he crashed into the driver's side of a westbound Chevy pickup in the intersection of 8th Street and Davies Street. The pickup truck careened into the side of a house on Northeast 8th, Buck was pronounced dead at the scene.
Oh.
This all happened when he was speeding on Baker Street.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. We always get hip deep into these stories, and then there's the phrase, and was horribly killed, leaving six children fatherless. All right. Let's see. All right, here's... people are already saying now that... some people are already noting that they are downloading or have downloaded the Harry Potter book, but are taking all kinds of security precautions to make sure that their IP address is not in any way linked to the download.
Too late.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Hillary Rosen or whoever
that
it is now.
That train has left the barn.
No, they're gonna. Well, I mean, the good news, bad news about the Harry Potter thing is, if they find you downloading it, they will F you to death. I mean, you're gonna, they're going to kill you and everybody you know. As they say in the Usual Suspects, they'll kill you, they'll kill your family, your children, they'll kill your friends and friends of your friends, and they'll kill your parents and people who owed your parents money. The good news, though, is that there's so many people. This might, in fact, turn out to be the most downloaded and pirated thing in history. I mean, I don't know right now, but I will say... Are you getting tired of the Harry Potter discussion yet, Tim?
No, I'm
all right. It is what the people are talking about today.
We don't want to talk about Victoria Beckham.
I'm just glad that nobody wants to talk about Victoria Beckham. There's a whole piece about that today, which I could have told them, and that whole thing has just backfired.
Stupid.
Seriously, it's just it really is stupid. It is, and who could not? I know we're off of Harry Potter and onto Posh Spice now.
It's one British invasion that's failed.
The British invasion has been turned back. Who could not have seen that coming? That Bex and Brit or whatever their name, Bex and Posh or whatever. No one cares. No one cares.
People care when she goes to rehab and then forget the next week.
No.
If you want to be a real American celebrity, you need to be in rehab.
Exactly. Anyway, so we were predicting days ago that nobody would care about it. And there was a huge piece in Washington Post today, but now it's failed.
Meanwhile, back to things we care about.
About Harry Potter. So... I will say this, and this is true. This is a true statement. I have not downloaded the Harry Potter 7 book that is out because I don't, you know, I'm just being very clear about that. I did not do it. I, you know, this is not a thing for various reasons I wasn't going to do. But, of course, when I saw all those text messages from people, they're like, hey, Harry Potter 7 is all over the net. So I did go to, you know, websites and punch in Harry Potter 7 to see if it was there. And I'll tell you this, I won't identify the website, but I went to a certain website. And just punched in as a search word Harry Potter to see if it was there. And sure enough, it was. And a lot of times when those guys will post those illicit files or pirated goods or wares, as the kids say, they'll put little notes about it. Like if somebody posts a movie, they'll say, hey, this is the, this is the... pick a movie. This is like the Independence Day DVD rip with 5.1 sound and full commentary intact.
Oh, where can I find that?
I wouldn't know, Tim. I don't know anything about that. But they'll post details about whatever it is they posted. Or like, hey, this is, this is like The Sopranos seasons 1 through 2 with audio commentary. Just so you know, happy downloading. Well, the note that was attached to this Harry Potter file that I saw last night, and again, I didn't download it, but I went to the site and saw that it was available. The guy who posted it, he had some note attached to it where he said, this is the real deal. These are photographs of the book, but it's every page photographed. And then he put this note. He said, download it right now. Let's make internet history. That was like his whole thing is like clearly like so many of those hackers, I don't even know if they say hackers anymore, but those kids on the net, he's not making any money off of it. He's not doing anything. There's so many people who do stuff like that on the net. It's simply and solely just because they like making waves. They just like not necessarily even causing trouble. They just like being out there in the forefront and doing stuff. They like making stuff. It's just the thrill of the activity. It's just the thrill of the thing. Like those guys who crack security systems just because they want to do it. They're not making any money. They just like, the journey is the destination. So I would imagine that Harry Potter book may become the single most pirated file in history over the next 3 or 4 or 5 days. I mean, you know, in terms of the amount of days they have to do it in, just because I can't even, because it's got to be the most, it's already the most pre-ordered book in history. So, anyway.
Let's make it happen.
Yes. Rick, that's Tim Riley who said that, by the way. Rick, doesn't this Japanese thing sound like the sort of thing that will make Godzilla a reality? You would think the Japanese would be particularly cautious about radiation in their country, especially if it makes its way to the Pacific. Best show ever. It's from Ramon. Yeah, I do believe so. I really am hoping that somewhere in Japan right now, a little bit of this toxic waste is like going through the crack in a sidewalk and ending up in some kind of an anthill. You know what I mean?
Maybe they'll attach you to one of those balloons and hope it lands in the forest over here like they did last time.
Totally. All right, here's Tim Riley.
This just in. Steroids have been found in the dead body of Chris Benoit.
No.
Yeah. His body has Xanax, a painkiller hydrocodone, and let's see, that's it, I guess. Oh, is it Xanax? Yep, the two things. And his wife had the same thing, and the painkiller hydromorphone. And his son Daniel had Xanax in his system. So that's that.
All right. Wait.
Black bears have invaded government camp. Neighbors say a black bear is roaming around the mountain town, making its way not only into yards but also into homes, toppling garbage cans, tossing trash, and rattling nerves. Apparently, a fishing game people say that the warm weather is helping carry food odors deep into the woods. That's begging the bears to visit your home.
Is that here?
This is government camp.
We should get Dan Saltzman on this.
So here are some tips about encounters with bears. If you see any
cubs, try to die quickly.
If you see any cubs, stay clear of them. If you run into an adult bear, stay calm. Don't run.
Wave your hands and scream.
Don't make any sudden movements.
Cover yourself in steak sauce.
Do not stare at the bear directly in the eye.
Take one of the cubs and run away with it.
Give it an escape route. Point it out if you can.
Yeah, try to reason with it.
And in the unlikely attempt that you're attacked, fight back.
Oh, that's what I want YouTube of. Ah, oh, wonderful. Yeah, fight back. Get right on that. Antagonize it with whatever's nearby. Jab it with a lawn dart.
That is a good idea.
All right. Is this Aaron the Geek, Scotty? It doesn't. There's no notation on the screen. Or is this some other Aaron? Okay, non. All right.
A non-geek.
A non-geek. Hello. Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey there. Do you really like J.K. Rowling's writing? Do you really like it?
Well, not like she's the greatest writer in history, but I do like her writing style. Yes.
I don't know. I think it's a pile of crap, really.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Look, I mean, I will say this. I don't put like the Harry Potter books up as like the greatest work of Western literature like some people do. I mean, I will say that I find her to be a good and skilled writer, and I find the books to be really entertaining. And ask for much more than that than for it to be entertaining.
I'll give the plot some credit. I mean, like it's interesting. It like holds your attention. But I mean, she writes just so poorly. I mean, her use of adjectives is everything. It's awful.
Use of adjectives. Like you're all getting all strunk and white on me.
Exactly.
The only criticism I have of the Harry Potter books is, and I don't know that there's much way around this. This is a thing that dates, I mean, in other form. I mean, like every film noir movie is this way. The only slight criticism I would have of J.K. Rowling is the big expository speech at the end that some character has to give to explain everything
yes,
that happened.
Yes, exactly. That's the one that gets me the worst.
It bugs me, but I also understand that that's a thing you can't really get around. And again, like every noir movie you will ever see in your life does exactly the same thing, because sometimes it's the only way you can do it. So I don't think they're the best books ever, but I do think that they're fantastically entertaining. And I, you know, that carries a lot of weight with me.
All right, I'll give you that, but right. I gotta get work now. Thanks.
All right, thank you. There you go. Here's Tim Riley.
So apparently that sinkhole at 64th and Southeast Powell has closed that road in both directions.
That is so cool.
It is because somebody hit a fire hydrant and started a sinkhole.
So, but I'm unclear about what that... Is there a
big hole in the earth.
But, okay. So I'm trying to... Is this 65th and Powell?
64th.
It's 64th. It is paved.
Yeah.
So...
It was.
Well, that's my question. Well. So what does it even mean? So is it...
Well, 64th, that's right after, like, right before it... Or after Foster crosses it, because it kind of branches off to Foster.
I thought Foster was way down on, like, 50th.
No, that's... Oh, wait a minute. I think you're right.
I think 64th is up by, like, there's like, a travel lodge up there.
Oh,
and there's
where,
like,
a 7-Eleven. Dollar Tree is and all that stuff?
Yeah, there's, like, a 7-Eleven right up there.
It's
so
closed indefinitely.
Yeah, so what is it? So somebody hit a fire hydrant.
Yes.
So what happens then? The fire hydrant...
is shattered.
I guess I don't understand how it happens, though.
It forces water to leak in the streets.
Okay, but so what? I mean, how does that cause... Is it that the water goes into the ground and that the soil underneath the pavement gives way? And then the soil underneath the pavement can no longer support the pavement's weight and it caves in?
I suppose that might be true.
If you assume that the street is basically ground that has cement on top of it, you know, it's dirt with cement on top. If the dirt gets washed away underneath and then the cement caves in?
Yes.
All right. Why is it closed in both directions? Is it that big?
Well, it says here that this happened at 10:30, and they're still working to close the valves and shut off the water, so that's 2 hours later.
I thought that there was just some switch they could turn somewhere, and they just turned the water off.
Not in that neighborhood.
No. All right. Let's see here. All right, I'm looking for... I'm just sorting through these emails here. All right, well, we should probably break. It's 12:28. All right, back after this. We've got more on the way. The new news hour continues next. Later on, Steve Kastenbaum, the top five, Dennis Pitzenrocker, more from Scotty the Jade, Tim Riley, Sarah X. Dillon. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty, is this... Have I already taken this? I'm looking at the screen. I just took that guy. Aaron, not the geek, with a sinkhole explanation. Did I not just take that?
Is this
a different guy named Aaron? It's a coincidence. All right, okay. Well, we'll get that here in just a few. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, theatrical.
Microphone off.
Oh, theatrical. That's how White House spokesman Tony Snow characterized tonight's scheduled all-night debate on American troops in Iraq.
It is a debate in pursuit of what? We want to see Congress go ahead also and do its basic business, which is fund the government and not try to suspend consideration of things like defense authorization and appropriations, because those are also vital for moving forward.
How dare that Congress try to make laws and to pass legislation? What are they doing? Do you smell Elmer's glue?
No.
Do you smell something weird? Sarah, do you smell something weird?
No.
It's like a big Elmer's glue scent in the air for some reason. I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, it did just put back on that wall.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. A debate on Iraq would be interesting, but it really doesn't mean anything.
It may be a healthy debate. It's also likely to be theatrical. What's interesting is the Senate's going to hold this debate, but it's not going to vote on defense authorization to support the troops.
You know, that I hate that guy. He just bugs the hell out of me. Just because he's not even as good as like a he's not even as good as a Ron Ziegler was. Okay. He just has he's just a bad liar. That's the thing about Tony Snow. He just lies and he does it poorly. There's not even any panache, no style. He's not going in the book. But you know who is going in the book? I was thinking about this.
Who is that?
I forgot yesterday when we were doing this story. I forgot in the book is going Cardinal Roger Mahoney from the Los Angeles diocese. He of the, so you like to rape children. How do you feel about Florida? Let's see. Cardinal Roger Mahoney. Mahoney. Let's see. Los Angeles. He's going in the book of people who will be dealt with someday. Let's see. Cardinal Roger Mahoney in Los Angeles. Assistant to child buggerers.
Well, you said it's not just a Catholic Church problem, but other institutions that should take steps to acknowledge that they do it too.
The Catholic Church is sort of the Microsoft of child rogering, though. They really are the Fortune 500 of that. So he's in the book now. What are we doing? This is somebody about the sinkhole. Hi, yet another Aaron on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, when the fire hydrant got busted off, probably below ground when it snapped, all that water runs underneath and causes the road to collapse, undermines it. Hopefully within a day or two, maybe half of the meth labs in Portland will be underground.
I was just going to say, what if it just continues to expand and like at the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it just sort of consumes the entire town? That actually might not be such a bad idea.
No, my property value would probably go up. And then on to the bear attack survivor.
Yes.
I know a guy who was once beat up by a big hairy gay man. Does that count? Apparently not.
We're looking for the correct effect.
I don't.
Please stand by.
How does that work for you there?
All right.
Bye now.
Thanks.
All right. Doug, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, how are you doing? I had to fill you in on some information about the reason why you fight back with black bears.
Is this going to be real advice, or is this going to be another wacky bit of comedy?
This is real advice. The reason they tell you to fight back is a black bear won't stop. Once it starts to maul you, it'll keep
Once
going
it starts
until
to maul you. Okay, yes, and?
But the grizzly bear will just maul you and then walk away. So you play dead with a grizzly, you fight back with a black bear.
I'm sure that
the bear would be asked to identify itself.
I was
going to
say, in the heat of the moment, I'm sure that distinction will make all the difference. Pardon me. Would you, are you of the, what is the, here's a dumb question. What is the difference? I mean, is a grizzly bear just not black?
No, they're a lot bigger. They've got the hump on the back. They're regions. There's not too many of them in Washington. You get up north of Spokane, you can run into one every now and then, but they're pretty rare.
So it's not just a color issue.
No, it's not a color issue. It's a size issue. They're a completely different breed of bear.
See, I think the problem, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I'm saying I think the flaw in this plan is...
Bear identification.
Yes, bear identification, and that you're going to have to identify the relative size of a bear as it's attacking you, which...
Okay, if you're in government camp, it's a black bear.
And so you're supposed with a black bear, you're supposed to do what?
Fight back with...
What does that even mean? How is it possible, really, honestly, if you're just sitting there around the campfire toasting a marshmallow and a black bear comes up and begins to disembowel you, what fighting back is there? What are you supposed to fight back with?
Regulation boxing.
Throw your fat buddy in the way of him.
Okay, well, that's true. Now, you could distract him with someone who's more succulent, I suppose.
You could throw a salt in
his eyes. Exactly, or slower, even.
Yeah, all right. I don't believe there's no punching back to the bear. That's like those people that if you're attacked by a shark, hit it soundly on the snub of its nose. I don't really know that's sound advice. All right.
No, that's the actual truth, though, guys.
All right, thank you.
You bet, bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that'll work out. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It is suspected that top Pentagon officials covered up the friendly fire death of football star turned Army Ranger Pat Tillman. Lawmakers want to call Donald Rumsfeld and five generals to testify on Capitol Hill on the matter. You can bet that'll never happen. Today's a deadline for former White House counsel Harriet Myers to agree to testify to members of Congress. Austin Hill wrote the book Executive Privilege and talks about the chance of that happening.
The concept of executive privilege is not entailed in the Constitution, not in any clear sort of fashion. In fact, those words don't appear in the Constitution at all.
He's not going to show up.
It sounds like some guy who's doing like a podcast or something somewhere.
Okay, here's the latest thing to put fear into your soul. The FBI is investigating alleged human smuggling based in Chaparral, New Mexico. No, it's not Mexicans this time. It's Iraqis and other Middle Eastern individuals. Apparently, there's more money in smuggling terrorists than there is Mexicans. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
It's kind of... I'm not saying that the human smuggling is wrong, but it is kind of impressive, actually. The like those guys, those coyotes, who they make their whole living just smuggling illegal immigrants into America.
They'll put you in the middle of a jelly donut.
Yeah, I mean, no, it really is. It really is stuff exactly like that.
Yeah.
Look, I'm doing my Brooklyn accent.
You're squeezed inside this barber pole.
Exactly. That's totally what it is. How do you feel about living inside a couch cushion for about 3 weeks and subsisting on this, and it's like a juice box full of water? There you go. This will be your sustenance for the better part of a month. Get in the back of this truck filled with weeds. And that's it. That's how they get... I mean, it is kind of... If the government was smart, maybe they already do this. They ought to hire some of those coyote guys just to sort of demonstrate how they do that. Like how every company hires... I mean, if you have a guy, we were just talking about this, if you have a guy who works in your IT department or a guy who is, your internet overseer at work, I'll guarantee you the company found him because he's, if you go to that guy's house, he's probably got thousands of gigabytes of illegal and pirated goods. Those are the guys who are always the best at helping other people stop doing that. So... they really ought to take a lesson from these guys in Mexico who can just smuggle people into the country. I mean,
we're going to cover you with feathers and stuff you with candy and make you a piñata.
I mean, it's getting hard. You can't even take a small cache of drugs through airport security. You get these guys who are trying to smuggle like a vial of crack through and it gets caught. Meanwhile, these guys in Mexico are able to take some 6'5" Mexican national and smuggle him across the border somehow, and nobody ever spots it. It is kind of impressive in its own sort of hideous way. Okay, this is the last call we're taking on this.
Is this Aaron again?
No. Today we're only talking to guys named Aaron. Ye have yet another bear call.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Okay, hi. So, All bears are somewhat related genus, species, that whole list, to dogs, and to dogs.
Bears are related to dogs.
Yes, distant cousin. It's like, you know, there's the phylum, genus, species.
Yes.
You know, they're, you know, farther back, they're in the, like, canine somewhere. They have some similarities. So the thing is bears have very sensitive noses. So what you're supposed to do, and I was a Boy Scout, so they taught this, aim for their nose when you fight back. Punch them in the schnoz.
Now, don't bears typically, this is, I've seen too many movies, but don't bears typically attack you while they're standing on their hind legs?
Yes.
So there's no reaching that nose. It's like 7 feet in the air.
Well, I'm not saying it's easy. You know.
Not saying you'll be successful.
Right. But, aim for the pointy part that's trying to bite you, uh-huh. Just above, and you should be okay.
That's exactly where you're going to put your hand, by the way, is right up to something that's an inch away from those teeth.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the advice I was given as a young child.
All right.
Was aim for the nose.
All right.
It seems stupid, but it might work. Who knows?
All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right. I'm just going to go back to my original statement, which is this advice about fighting back against a bear or playing dead. This is exactly like the Bert the Turtle and the duck and cover. Ducking and covering is retarded. Well, it is amazing.
It's like fire will not burn your school desk.
Well, and that somehow, I mean, if you don't know what duck and cover is, I mean, and I wasn't around for that era. I mean, that is before my time, but it's part of the pop culture, and it's, you know, it is one of those things that you sort of hear about and you see over the years, and that phrase sort of has worked its way into the cultural consciousness. But the ducking and covering, which was this idea that there was this film strip they would show you in schools, where they would teach school children that in case of a nuclear attack, the deal was to get on your knees and hide underneath your school desk. The idea that somehow getting yourself 6 inches further away from a nuclear weapon would save your life is so absurd as to just stagger the imagination. And the fact that at the time, everybody just swallowed it without question. Well, I mean, if you're this high off the ground, it will kill you. But if you're 6 inches lower, you will somehow survive the nuclear incineration. The word just sounded, leaving my mouth, it sounds just dumb. But everybody sort of bought it. But the whole point of duck and cover is not that it's going to work because you are going to die. It was just sort of to pacify you so you could get back to learning geometry lessons or whatever. Well, aren't we all going to die? No, you got duck and cover. Well, okay, you know, and it was just something to sort of take your mind off of it so they could get back to indoctrinating you, which is what they're there for. So that's what this bear advice really is. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So if we're not scaring you with duck and cover, and bears don't work, how about Al-Qaeda? Remember that old standby Al-Qaeda's coming?
Yes.
Well, they're trying to acquire chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons and will not hesitate to use them on you and your neighborhood.
We are facing a persistent terrorist enemy led by Al-Qaeda that remains driven and intent on attacking the homeland and that continues to adapt and improve its capabilities. Our greatly increased worldwide counterterrorism efforts since September the 11th have constrained the ability of Al-Qaeda to attack the U.S. again.
Who is that?
Her name is Frances Townsend, and at some part along the line, she became the president's Homeland Security Advisor.
I thought that other guy was...
Maybe he was captured by Al-Qaeda.
I thought it was...
That other fellow.
Not Tommy Thompson.
Timmy Thompson.
Now
you think of somebody else.
No, it was that guy. He was the governor of some place, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Such bad Americans. I don't even
None
know.
None of these people do anybody a bit of good.
No, they're not going to
show up every week to scare people.
They're not going to save you from anything. No, there's no saving you. So, all right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Yeah, this is Grant. I'm just I caught the tail end of your little talk about illegal immigration and coyote guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I have some, not first-hand, but second-hand knowledge of this. My wife came over that way, and these guys are definitely going to the areas where it's most likely that nobody will ever look, because they go through, make these people hike through deserts,
and swim just really nasty parts of the rivers as well. So
well, the border
guys are thinkers.
Yeah, no, the border is pretty porous. I mean, the border is sort of like we were talking about that guy that crashed in that red, or the, you know, the priest and the woman who crashed in that red car. It's like there's one cop to patrol like 800 square miles of woods or something. That kind of is the United States border. The border is big, and there aren't a lot of guys to look after it. So
and the other thing is, it's really not like a huge security threat aside from, you know, the fact that they're illegal and coming over, because I would never see a terrorist wanting to do that type of an entry into our country. So that's what these people are trying to.
No, they all come through Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks a lot, Rick. Just wanted to make a point, dude.
All right, thank you. There you go.
Bye.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
A Fort Lauderdale teen who took a secret trip to Iraq in 2005 has secretly traveled to another country. This time he's going to Afghanistan. His mom tells about his experience.
He went in the beginning with a group of, I believe, four or five Americans who they were looking into women's rights in Afghanistan.
What accent is that?
Iranian or some of Afghanistan?
Some such.
One of the trashy sand countries? Who knows? Let's move along to Minnesota Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison. He is one of those Islamics. He compared the 9/11 tragedy to the destruction of the German parliament in 1933 during a weekend speaking
gig. Bush equals Hitler guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's him.
9/11 is this juggernaut event in American history, and it allows, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the Reichstag fire.
Yes, he's America's first Muslim congressman, and he hinted that the president may be responsible for the 9/11 attacks. He argued that the president's blame of Muslims for 9/11 is similar to Hitler's blaming of the communists for the Reichstag incident.
After the Reichstag was burned, they blamed the communists for it, and it put the leader of that country in a position where he could basically have authority to do whatever he wanted.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Air America's down the dial, friend. Move on. All right.
The Iran Intelligence Ministry continues to hold a U.S. academic hostage who they claim is trying to overthrow the government. This woman's wife says that she's not part of the conspiracy to take down Iran, and the state is using that as an excuse to hold her.
They've held my wife for many months. She's been in prison for 70 days and more, and now they have to justify the ill treatment to which they have subjected her.
The show is full of accents I don't recognize. This program is full of foreigners. Who is this guy and where?
This is the husband of a woman being held in Iraq who they claim is trying to overthrow the Iranian government. Oh, she's being held in Iran. They took a hostage. That's an American.
I'm so confused. She's an American.
Being held hostage.
And she's in Iran?
Yeah.
Why would you be in Iran? I'm not saying
you're trying to take over the government. Overthrow it.
For what reason?
Well, because we do nothing but good when we go over there for people.
No, but I don't understand. If you're just some housewife living in Dubuque, why would you do... What am I going to do today? Well, I could go to Pilates, or I could go to Tehran and try to overthrow their government.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is just full of crazy people. I don't understand anything that goes on in these stories. This world
we have more.
I have no doubt about it. This world is just... This world is just beyond salvation. It really is. I don't mean to sound like I'm in a bad negative about it. It's not really being negative as such. It's just being realistic. This world is just beyond hope. I really think that's why I don't care about the environment. I really think that is the bottom line. My wife and I got into a long, heated discussion about the environment the other day. And I was telling her that I don't care about the environment. I don't care about the state of the planet. I don't care about any of that. Because really, in many ways... We are just beyond help.
It doesn't matter.
As a people.
Speaking of the environment, you're not going to be able to get home due to that sinkhole on Powell later.
That's what I'm saying. It's, you know what I mean? It's, we're crazy, and we're getting crazier by the day, and eventually we'll get crazy enough that the Earth will decide it is no longer tenable to have us as a flourishing species, and we'll be gotten rid of. And then it'll be, I don't know, giant fire-breathing ants or something that'll take over. They'll get their
alligators
shot.
Alligators will still be here.
That's what I'm saying. Giant squids walking around on the Earth. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, this is Benjamin from the Mighty Southeast.
What's up, sir?
Hey, on Sunday, I went to a drag queen pageant at the Fez.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually dating the hairstylist of the winner, Miss Erica Chandler. And I may be able to contact Miss Gay Oregon USA and have her come in and kiss Scotty J.
The show is... Okay, this call, just in the last 10 seconds, this call took so many twists and turns, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So, you are dating A man or a woman?
A female, the hairstylist.
You are dating a woman who is the hairstylist to the man who, in drag, won the Miss Gay Oregon pageant.
On Sunday, yeah, Mayor Tom Potter was there. I got more
really?
Drag queens than I will ever need to see in my lifetime, but it was a fantastic show.
Now, are all the contestants in Miss Gay Oregon drag queens?
Yes, they are.
So there is no Miss. So this is not Miss Lesbian Oregon. This is Miss Man Dressed as a Woman Oregon.
Absolutely.
Do you suppose that gay women are upset about that? That there is no. I mean, you would think that. I mean, I don't mean to inject politics into what's an enjoyable and casual conversation, but you would think that maybe that gay females would be angered by this, that all the participants in Miss Gay Oregon have penises.
No, I don't think so. There were quite a few lesbians there. They stood up and cheered. They seemed to appreciate it. You know, if they want to start their own pageant, they can. There's a whole, apparently, I didn't know this, but there's a whole Miss Gay America thing going on. We had drag queens from Texas and New York or New Jersey, I think.
So if they started like a, if they started like a lesbian Oregon beauty pageant, I wonder what they'd have to call it. Miss Gay Oregon seems to be taken. So this is
true.
It really is just an amazingly interesting world we live in. All right, so what is the name of the drag queen who won Miss Gay Oregon?
She is Erica Chandler.
Erica Chandler. When in drag, what celebrity would you say that he, she most resembles?
Well, what's that gal? Superstar, you know? I'm not saying she looks exactly
Molly Shannon?
Like Molly Shannon. Yes,
really?
That was actually her talent portion was
that's pretty
was
hot.
Thinking to some Molly Shannon. No, it was. It was awesome.
I've seen, look, I'm not above admitting this, I've seen some drag queens in my life that were really hot. I've seen some, it's like there was this great episode of Entourage a couple weeks ago where there was the mayor of Beverly Hills was at a bar talking to someone that turned out to be, I don't think it was a drag queen, I think it was somebody who was transgendered, but it was, you know, it was, you know, just hot from, just stunningly hot from the waist up. All right.
There was a couple of fellows or ladies, as it were, there that I couldn't tell. I had to ask.
Now let me ask you this. How do I, just because this is the question that has to be asked. So I understand that you're dating somebody and you're probably in a very serious, you know, probably in a very loving, committed relationship. But let me ask you this. So are there any of the drag queens there at this competition with whom you would consider some act of sexual congress?
No.
Really?
No, some of them look pretty good. I mean, I have to admit, they look great, but no, that's just not my thing.
Let me ask you this. Okay,
I've let them kiss me, though. What the hell?
Really? No, so see, that's then we're just one step away. I mean, really,
it's
if you let
step, Rick.
If you let a drag queen kiss you, then it does seem like there are other acts which one might perceive as actually, in a way, being even less intimate. I know there are people who perceive kissing to be a much more intimate act than certain actual, certain sexual activities.
Oh, I am not one of those people.
Let me ask you this. No. Here's a question for you. I love conversations like this.
Sure.
Clyde and I, especially like late at night, if Clyde is drunk and we're all like, you know, we're at somebody's house or at some party, Clyde and I can while away like 5 or 6 hours asking people questions like this. Clyde and I had this whole thing about. Never mind. We had this whole question that involved, like, Bea Arthur and a beauty queen and your mom. Let me ask you this question. Let's say you go into a room. There are 4 really stunning women and a drag queen. Now, the lights go out and you receive a form of pleasure from one of the people in the room, but you don't know who. So there's 4 hot girls and a drag queen. Lights go out. You are pleasured in some fashion, then the lights come back on, you never know who it was. Would you take those odds?
I don't think so. I'm not really comfortable with that. I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality to say that I'm not comfortable with that idea.
When you say you kiss a drag queen, now are you just saying a peck, or would you say a full-on, like a macking?
No, I'd let him kiss me on the cheek or nibble on my ear. That's fine. But I don't think I'd kiss him on the mouth. That's a bit much for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, nothing against him, just not my thing.
All right. Okay. I have so many follow-up questions that I could do here, but we're behind. All right. So you are saying you believe you could get Miss Gay Oregon in to be one of the kissing volunteers for Scotty J.
I'm going to try that. If you could, give her maybe a couple of minutes to plug some things and talk about the Miss Gay Oregon America system, Miss Gay America system. Yeah, I think she might agree to that. I'm going to give it a shot for you.
I'm sorry, I'm still back on the drag queen coming in to plug some things. Drop me an email and we'll see if we can put it together.
All right, I'll do what I can for you.
All right, thank you, sir.
Greatest show ever.
Thank you. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Scotty's typing the screen. Boy, do I hate this whole bit. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's go now to Possum Kingdom, Texas. Water is returning to Possum Kingdom, but residents are advised to continue to boil water until further notice.
Possum
Everyone
Kingdom.
In those areas should have some level of water. It's probably not up to the right pressure level just yet, but they will have it for bathing and for toiletry use.
That's the Possum Kingdom water supply.
Is Possum... It sounds like we're inside some sort of a chill. Welcome to Possum Kingdom, inside, you know, the magical land. Oh, this is, Hey, Tim, do you recognize this? I'm just going to play a little something here. Play a little piece of music. Now, we had a guy who sent this to us. Who sent us this? This is from Stephen. Stephen has sent us this little bit of audio. Let me cue this up here. Let's do this one more call, then we'll play this audio, then we'll probably break and we'll come back with other things. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it's White Man.
Hey, the White Man, how are you, sir?
I had a bear call. A few years back, I was hunting with my uncle. We're elk hunting, and we had to go down halfway down this ravine to go get the elk.
Uh-huh.
Well, on our way down, we could hear some trampling through the brush, and he looks up, and there's a black bear heading down the hill towards us. And so I'm freaking out because I've never seen that out in the wild before.
Right.
And he's this big mountain man dude, and so he pulls out his .45 revolver and he has it in his sights, and he's like, just stand up and throw your arms up in the air and just make a bunch of loud noises. And so I'm looking at him like, are you an idiot? And he's just like, don't worry, if he gets close, I'll shoot him. So I do that, and I make these really loud noises, and then it just kind of stops to its side, and then my uncle shoots right by it, and it takes off. So what he told me was that if you actually make yourself up to be a lot bigger and a lot louder than a bear,
right,
then they'll usually get scared.
Now, do you suppose it was it the call or the gun or the combination of both?
Well, the gun happened after it stopped in its tracks.
Because the gun's really loud, so you figure maybe that sealed the deal if it thought the gun was... In other words, if it thought the gunshot was maybe your, like, a call, like maybe that was like your yell or
right,
something.
Right,
all right. Interesting.
And then also one other thing was, yes, on your whole epic speeches that you put on at the beginning of the show once in a while.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Wet Hot American Summer?
Yeah, you know, that movie's been sitting on top of my TV for like 6 months. Dave Zinn gave it to me and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you will love it. And I'll tell you one thing, please, if you watch it and you like it, put the Camp Cook speech at the end of the movie on there.
All right, yeah, we're starting each program with a movie speech at this point. So yeah, I'll look into it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
There you go. All right, Tim, do you recognize this music?
No.
Now,
I know this.
This is music from what someone is claiming is the show that you did some of the voice work for.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know that you have said it's Maple Street Stories. No, wait. What did
you call
it? I think
we found out the name of it the other day.
But what did you call it? Maple Street
Stories? I thought it was Mapletown.
Okay. Well, yeah. The program is actually called Mapletown Stories.
Okay.
So this is the title sequence to Mapletown Stories. And it is a Saban or whatever it's called production.
That must be it.
Japanese animation is just so weird. I wonder if this is another side effect of the radiation. So I'm looking to see. All right, so this is the opening sequence. So it does look like there are sections of this, because you're talking about how you had done voice work for this Japanimation, and it does look like there are sections of this television series online. And you played a bear?
Yeah.
What did the bear look like? Was it purple or was it like bear colored?
I think it was purple.
All right. So now we have identified the series as Mapletown Stories.
And I think didn't somebody say there were 53 episodes of this?
Yes.
So I'm in three.
So bit by bit, we will have to wade through all 53 episodes trying to find the episodes upon which you did voice work.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right, we should probably take a break here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Steve Kastenbaum, more news around the corner. We'll talk to Scotty J. We've got the top five coming up. Dennis Pitzenbarger, more Harry Potter 7 discussion. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. including a sense of smugness.
Yes.
And it really, and I mean that in the best way.
People stay away from you.
Sit there and read the New York Times, and people won't ask you for money. People won't try to talk to you.
It's just so East Coast. It really is.
It's 503-733-2970. Speaking of New York, we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum here in just a second. Did you find, now, do you have Mapletown Stories audio, Tim?
Kind of.
This is from the Japanese television series for which Tim Riley did voice work some time ago. Sarah, is Tim's computer up?
Sure is.
All right, let's go ahead and we have this. What language is this?
German?
I don't know. So you found it, but not in English.
Right.
So there's some German Tim Riley.
There is.
Fantastic. Have you at least identified the character for which you supplied the voice?
I see that. Oh, we missed it. It was a bear waving in the background. Let me bring it back now.
This is Tim voices a bear wearing a headband in this Japanese cartoon, which we can only find in German. That's wonderful. So if you are in possession of the Mapletown Stories anime series, please be hooking us up with that.
Only if it's in English though.
I just love the idea of some German you. There's some guy who looks like you, but he's wearing lederhosen. In a recording studio, complaining that he's only being paid 3 marks for 5 days' worth of work. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, the one, the only, Steve Kastenbaum, CNN radio correspondent. Hello, sir. How are you?
All right. Doing good.
How's life in the big city?
Not bad. Can't complain.
All right. So we have this story, and we were talking about this earlier, and I was saying that I really am just so uninformed about so many things. So Rupert Murdoch has this tentative agreement to purchase the Dow Jones company, right? This is the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal?
Right, among several other publications, yes.
And so is Rupert Murdoch, I mean, is he really just in some sort of Gamera versus Zegra battle to take over the entire world? It's just him and Google are just racing to see who can buy everything on Earth?
Kind of. The real reason he wants this is so that he can, you know, couple this with his Fox empire and use some of the reporting aspects, the business reporting aspects of Dow Jones company, Dow Jones and company, rather, to augment the Fox channels. So he'll have sort of this seamless network of information. You know, if you want to watch the news, you'll get the news. You'll get these, you know, this stellar business reporting, you know, from the Wall
right.
Street Journal and from the Dow Jones people there, Dow Jones television, as a matter of fact. So he's trying to couple these two things together into one package.
So it says that shareholders have to approve this deal. Why would anybody not approve this deal? I mean, doesn't it seem like Rupert Murdoch is a fantastically successful guy? The things he buys typically flourish. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of failed deals or acquisitions as far as his track record goes, does he?
There's a couple of reasons why the Bancroft family, the primary stockholders, the primary controllers of Dow Jones and Company, don't want to sell to Murdoch. And it's not all of the Bancroft family. It's only a few members. There's a lot of folks here in this family that have controlling interests in the stock. Some don't want Rupert Murdoch being in control of the Wall Street Journal. You know, given his track record with what he did with other newspapers, he gutted some of them, fired a lot of the staff, changed the appearance, the editorial views of the newspapers in some instances, and many of his newspapers are tabloids or what they term in some countries the rags. So the Wall Street Journal Bancrofts, really some of them, don't want Rupert Murdoch in charge of the Wall Street Journal given his reputation with those other publications. A few other of the Bancroft family members just don't like the asking price. The offering price. He's offering $60 per share, which is about $3 greater than what it was at the close yesterday. I'm not sure what the Dow Jones and Company closed at today. So they think they can get a little bit more, and they've been trying to find some alternative offers. But tonight the board's going to meet, and it's really not clear as to whether there's going to be a close vote here or if it's going to be pretty much a sign-off on Rupert Murdoch.
It must be a really nice place to be in your life when some guy's offering you $500 squillion for your company, and you're holding out because you're not quite sure that that's enough. You think you might be able to get another 0.5% somewhere.
Right.
Maybe that's going to be my goal for now. We'll just grow the Rick Emerson Show to the point where Rupert Murdoch wishes to buy it, and then we'll just become a shill for him. I would offer those services right now unhesitatingly.
He might actually take you up on that.
All right. Before we end this, are you a Harry Potter fan, sir?
No, my fiance is. She's read every one of those books, but I'm not a big Harry Potter fan.
All right, well, I would tell you this. I would tell you to pass along to fiance to be leery of her travels on the internet over the next few days, because the final book in the Harry Potter series, Harry Potter 7, has been leaked and is making the rounds, my friend.
Oh, no, really?
See, why? Look, I'm not trying to impugn CNN as a news-gathering organization, and certainly I'm not trying to cast aspersions on you, because I understand you've got things to do, stories you're covering. It really does strike me as a little strange, and again, this is not directed at you. It does strike, because I talked to Lisa Goddard about this today, and she didn't know this. It strikes me as strange that we know about this before CNN does. It does seem like you guys ought to be Johnny on the spot with this.
Well, I'm sure the folks on the desk know about it, but, you know, when you're covering a beat, you know, like being here in the New York Bureau, you're assigned a couple of stories during the day, and so that's what you're focusing on.
I guess I figured you guys would have some sort of super BlackBerry that would just be wired to your hip, where you would just get every single tiny piece of breaking, like it would be beamed directly to you.
The BlackBerry does not stop buzzing, actually. It's overwhelming how much information we get during the course of one day just by being a CNN employee. And then you get on these smaller lists, you know, for your bureau and everything, and it's incredible. So as you're covering, you know, As you're writing your pieces and recording them, you sometimes, you know, have to catch up on the emails a little later in the day.
All right. Well, so there you go. So you have it straight from the Rick Emerson Show that Harry Potter 7 has been leaked as of about 8 o'clock last night, and it is circulating the Internet as we speak. So be wary and leery of large email attachments. Tell your fiancé that.
It's kind of like the episode of Entourage on Sunday. Do you watch that show?
Yeah, with the trailer that's leaked onto the net.
Right.
Which they never resolved. My wife and I watched that for the second time. We find that Entourage is such a great show, and it holds up to repeated viewings. We watched that episode, I think, for the third time last night. We usually, every episode of Entourage, it comes out on Sundays, and usually by Tuesday or Thursday, we've watched it twice more, just because it's so great.
Yeah.
But at the end of that Sunday's episode, they still don't reveal who posted the Medellin trailer on the Internet.
Yeah, they don't. And I don't know if they gave us an inkling as to who did that in the coming attractions either.
Oh, it's fantastic. The show just continues to get better with every season. So.
It really does.
All right, my friend, enjoy the rest of your New York City afternoon. We will talk to you soon.
See ya.
Yo, Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, you got to get caught up on Entourage. So one of these days, because when is the last season
of
Entourage?
I'm like a season behind. I think I watched 3.
Did you get up to the point where they fired Ari?
Yes.
Okay. So that's season 3. So you got to catch up with season 4. I think this is still just one season, even though they did.
Yeah, because I thought I was behind, but I think I did actually watch all of them.
Yeah, it's
they
very
split up a little.
Yeah, because they did. By my count, Entourage is in season 5, but people claim it still only is season 4. So I guess these last two flurries of new episodes are one season. So you got to watch season 4. Gene, you watch that, and I'll borrow. Because you're all pushing me to watch Lost.
Yeah, so. I just finished season 2 of Lost. And my friend has season 3 on his computer, so he's going to burn it for me. He said the first 5 minutes of the first part of season 3 are like the greatest thing ever.
That is a recent marketing trick, by the way. That's something they started doing, I think, probably 8-9 years ago, where the whatever you do, don't miss the final 5 minutes. And the first 5 minutes, they did that with the West Wing a few times too, where they'll just pack some weird hook of a surprise right into like the opening 30 seconds of a show, which is what they did with The Shield too, and it sucks you right into it. All right.
Yeah, I can't possibly wait any longer to watch the first part of it. I just can't.
Let's see. Okay. This is one of those moments where we're in your wheelhouse here, because you got to step in and make some decisions. So here's what we got. We can talk a little bit about Harry Potter, because we have things to talk about with that. We can talk about Scotty and his non-smoking deal, because apparently our kisser for today isn't going to be in today. Apparently Deacon, who was the guy who was going to come in and volunteer, he was going to audition for the role of kissing.
Are we sure that Scotty isn't canceling on these people?
He claims that the guy canceled, the guy can't make it in. Which means maybe we could get the guy from tomorrow to come in today. We could bump Bob up. Bob is the gay man who's going to come in tomorrow. We might be able to get him to come in today. So we can either discuss that, we can discuss Harry Potter. We can break if we want to try to really stay ahead of things, or we can talk about this guest booking business of Scotty's.
I think that we should just bring Scotty J in here and do one of those, too.
You just wanted to hear that.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Can I kiss you on the mouth?
It doesn't get old.
Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Why, hello, Scotty J.
Well, hello, Rick and friends.
And the rest.
All right. And the rest of you nameless people.
Rick and others. All right. Well, I'll just start with this. So you have... we started by...
Well, we should start with asking him how he's doing.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
How many days has it been, Scotty?
It's been a week today. As of today.
So the last time... No, it's been a week tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
So the last Tuesday is when you smoked.
That's correct.
Now, you claim you have not had any cigarettes since that time.
That is correct.
Now, it should be noted that after yesterday's program, Sarah and I went out and we gave the inside
rifled.
Of your truck a good smelling. Sarah rifled through your possessions, which is great. I didn't have the guts to do that. Sarah just, like, we went to your truck and Sarah just opened your glove box and started rooting around.
Looked under the seat.
Your truck absolutely
well,
had...
Well, that boy came out, too, and he was telling me, like, look under the seat. He had a secret stash.
And your truck didn't smell of cigarettes, although you said that you didn't, even when you were a smoker, you didn't smoke in your truck.
Correct.
Because you just, you know, you just don't want it to stink like an ashtray. So we also smelled your person, and you did not smell of cigarettes either.
Right.
Now, it seems like...
We haven't smelled them today yet, though.
Now, if you... See, I'm not a smoker, so I don't know this, but if he smokes, will it show up on his clothing?
I think he'd smell.
I mean, I don't really know how that works. I don't know if you like smoke and then blow it away from you, if you'll still smell like it. Somebody should have to smell his breath.
Well, either you or Tim, because
the breath probably smells like
I have the presence of cigarettes.
My
smoke,
breath
though.
Smells like garlic because I was eating garlic Triscuits.
You are all style.
So gross.
Really, you are part of the upper crust of American society, Scotty. You really are. Well, I'll bite the bullet. I'll smell his clothing. All right, hold on.
You gotta smell like his arm.
It's tied
breath. Because if he close, let's see. So he's right-handed, so smell his right sleeve, because the smoke would have drifted up.
No, he doesn't smell like smoke. He smells
tied.
It does. You know, you have a weird fruit-like smell to you.
That could be the like Showtime, you know.
No, I don't know.
Antiperspirant.
Oh, that's not your Cuba cologne or whatever that is?
No. I stopped wearing that.
All right. Well, you do have like a fresh laundry detergent kind of scent to you. You do not smell like cigarette smoke. I will grant you that.
Maybe try karate.
You know,
I bet Scotty's getting up and smoking in the middle of the night.
Have you smoked in the middle of the night?
No, I'm not smoking.
At all?
No.
So you are saying that...
Do you have any cigarettes at your house?
I don't. My wife does.
Now, what did you do?
Do you guys smoke the same kind of cigarettes?
No, we never did.
Did you throw your remaining cigarettes away, or did you just not have any cigarettes? Did you use them all up and you just haven't replenished?
Here's what happened. We went out to the Vanilla Ice concert. I was feeling like garbage the next day. I only had two smokes that day.
Yeah.
Then I think there was only like three or four left, whatever the remainder was, that ended up last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't purchased any since.
So you use them all up?
Yeah.
So there are none of your cigarettes at your home?
Correct.
All right. And so your wife has continued to smoke. Does she smoke in front of you?
No.
Does she go outside?
Well, we always went outside, okay. But she'll go.
Yeah. Now, is she being conscious? But I guess what I'm saying is she being conscious of not smoking in front of you? Is she trying to make it easy?
Kind of, but...
She's not trying to suck you back down into her smoking pit?
Well, she's talking a lot about quitting herself, but it's just, you know, it seems like there's never going to be a date.
Yes. That does seem familiar, doesn't it?
I'm going to quit, you know, but...
All right.
Never heard that before.
All right, so what is up with the guy who was... So yesterday we had Chad. Now, what's your take on Chad? Chad, the guy who came in yesterday? Photographing him at rickemerson.com.
Seems like a nice guy.
Okay.
I've met him before.
Now, what is the deal with the guy who was supposed to come in today?
His real job got busy or something.
All right. He wasn't able to get time off. So
is he the bread truck driver?
No, that's
what
here's the deal. So yesterday was Chad, who is the bi guy. Today was supposed to be Deacon, who is a straight guy. And then tomorrow was supposed to be Gay Bob, who I do not believe is also the gay bread truck driver. I do think they're two different people.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure about that, though. So Deacon, who was the guy that was going to come in today, is not able to do that. So we could actually try to find a pinch kisser, as it were. We could try to find just that phrase, the expression on his face, the expression on Scotty's face just now. So we could actually try to find somebody to come in today to audition in the stead of Deacon. So if you're interested so if you would like to come in today and audition to be one of the kissers for Scotty J's cessation of smoking, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll get these calls here in a second. We have this. Rick says, this guy, I've been wondering something about the impending Scotty J man kiss. Do you think it would be worse for Scotty to be kissed by a manly man or by someone who is very effeminate? On the one hand, the manly man could freak Scotty J out in the they're everywhere and I can't tell who is who type of way, especially with a bit of scruff and musking up. Whereas the effeminate man would freak him out on a definitely visceral level. Just something I was wondering. Well, do you have thoughts on that? How do you feel about the concept of being kissed by Chad, who was here yesterday? Because he was, I would say he's a masculine guy.
I would say so, too.
Well, I think that's great and everything, but...
You think it's great?
I think it's great.
I'm all for it. I am bullish on that.
I just...
Let me just do it, then we'll have to figure it out this way. Okay, I'm gonna give you two different guys here, and I want you to picture being kissed by both, and we'll just gauge your reaction. Okay, on the one hand, close your eyes now. Okay, close your eyes now. Picture this. Now I want you to picture being kissed by. Thinking of something masculine, somebody masculine what we could all know.
Hulk Hogan.
Picture being kissed by Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay, great.
Kiefer Sutherland's giving you like a full-on...
Okay.
Right, there you go. All right. Mm-hmm. Now picture being kissed by Andy Dick.
I'll take the Kiefer Sutherland one.
That, see, I knew without even...
I know. And the funny I was thinking of Macaulay Culkin from Party Monster.
Reese just all...
Macaulay Culkin.
Reese like, covered in glitter makeup.
How about Chris Benoit?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no, let me... Yeah, let's... I'm just trying to think of somebody really strapping we can think of here. How about, wait, hold on.
Obviously, I'm going to take the manly man every time because I know
now, is that
they're
true?
Not gay.
Is that? Yes, yeah, that's always how it works.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever heard
really?
The term bear bar?
Really? Did you just say that?
Right.
Yes, that's exactly how it works, Scotty.
I'd like to be able to spot him. God, you're
really? Now,
awful.
Do you honestly believe that? That if someone is manly or masculine, that therefore that you can then...
There's a better chance that they aren't gay. See, I'm
really?
Not gay.
Okay.
I thought this was just, like, after-school special.
Here's the deal.
Like,
I'm not gay. I don't like...
Scotty J, portrait of a teenage homophobe.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with them.
Uh-huh.
I'm just
with
not
them,
gay.
With them.
I don't have a problem
with them. I love the idea.
I don't want them in my home.
I want my sister to marry one. So you don't have a problem with them as long as you can spot them.
I don't have a problem with them at all. I mean, I don't know how else to say this other than...
You sound drunk today.
I know. It's because I ate those Triscuits and they're like... I don't know.
That's usually what causes that sound. Triscuits.
Causing extra saliva or something.
I
don't know.
Disgusting. I have somebody who could probably get rid of that.
No.
All right. So, go ahead.
So, basically, I don't have a problem with the community. All right?
Wait, hold on. Really? I'm sorry. I should have been prepared for this eventuality. This is my fault, Sarah.
That's okay.
I should have known that we were going to need this. Wait, hold on. Let me find with the whole.
I don't need it because I have one sentence.
No, go ahead.
And that sentence is, you know, something that Clinton said years ago: "Don't tell, don't speak, don't whatever."
Yeah, that's exactly how we put it. Your grasp of history is fantastic.
How about to each man his own, and you know.
Are you still quoting Clinton, or are you freestyling now?
I'm freestyling.
Gone off the page. All right, let's just take some of these phone calls. I don't know what these people are calling about, but we'll see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I just wanted to let you know, does he wash his hands?
Who?
Often.
Who?
Scotty.
Scotty? Do you wash your hands often?
If I use the restroom.
Okay, smell his hands then. It might be gross, but cigarette smoke sticks to the hands.
Smell his hands.
Go right ahead.
Why do I have to do it? Don't we have an intern? We don't. I need to get an intern. Just somebody who will smell Scotty's hands.
Someone to smell him.
Hey, we need a smell cam.
All right, guys, I love you.
Thank you. Bye now. Hi, Rick and Kim. Bring your hands over here, you freak. All right. Hold on a second. Let me... This is so disgusting. Sarah, which hand should I smell?
Oh, God. Smell the right one.
I can't believe I'm even doing this. This is how much I care about your lungs.
Smell the underside. Smell the top.
The top? Oh, I thought it would be the part that touched the cigarette.
No, because the ash is on the outside of your hand.
Yeah.
You've been handling yourself, have you?
Hold
on. I don't smell any smoke.
Okay, maybe you should smell
I'm not going to put my nose any closer. Then. Hello,
you.
Sir.
There is no smoke.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
No.
Hi.
Hi there. Hey, I was tuned. I was going to say, have him smell, or you should smell his fingers, because that smell never leaves.
No, we just did that. I didn't smell anything, but...
God damn it. Hey, I got a question for the Mr. J.
Yeah.
Scotty, did you know that Chad was bi when you met him when he was buying you drinks?
No, but you see, I don't have a problem with bi, gay, whatever
your
sexuality
is. Well,
he's
not asking if you have a problem. He's just saying, when
no,
you first
not.
Met him, did you spot that?
No, I didn't.
So maybe your detection is not as finely tuned as you might think.
When I'm talking about a man,
you're surrounded.
I feel like I'm being watched all the time.
Perhaps you are.
I'm looking over my shoulder.
Really, there is no finer compliment, Scotty. It's true.
Scotty, parts of you are being watched more than others. Just so you know.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it's Deacon.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I couldn't make it in today. One of the guys that I work with, his dad had a stroke last night, and so I have to cover his shift.
All right. Okay, well, fair enough. That's a reasonable excuse. All right, now, will you be able to come in, on Thursday?
There is a very good chance.
Okay, because I think tomorrow's when we have Gay Bob coming in, and so tomorrow's not, but Thursday, we'd probably work. Yeah.
Well, and I sent an email because yesterday I heard that you didn't actually audition the previous cabin.
Now, we decided that there was probably no kissing really required, probably just to get a sense of the person, and I think we kind of decided the last
moment. You were going to do the test, and now it's just all on me.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't me. It was actually Sarah who made the observation that a kiss probably wasn't required. So I was willing to do it, but Sarah sort of made the call that it probably wasn't necessary. So, and I'm not trying to quit smoking anyway, so. All right, so maybe Thursday, Deacon. At what time do you want to do that?
Shoot for 1 o'clock again.
Yeah, we'll make it 1 o'clock on Thursday.
Cool.
Well, I sent you an email also, and maybe if you guys, I know it sounds pretty on MySpace or something, see if I could thoroughly debout Scotty.
Nah, we're
yeah,
losing
can't
your
hear
call.
You.
Sorry about that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, you don't have to smell his fingers. All you have to do is get a baby wipe. And you take and you wipe his fingers, catch him off guard. And wipe his fingers. It comes off instantly if they've been smoking. That's how I take care of God's special people, and you're not allowed to smoke in my house. So.
I don't understand. What are you saying?
I'm saying you take a baby wipe that has lanolin.
Right.
And catch him when he's not looking, and you just wipe his hands. It comes right off if there's yellow on the baby wipe.
Oh, you're saying that
it
would
be any kind of dirt, though, right?
You're saying that
not dirt, Scotty baby.
You're saying if we use, I hate this phrase, a baby wipe on Scotty's fingers, and if it comes up yellow, then that indicates that he has been smoking.
That it takes the lanolin, takes it right off.
All right. So that is a good way to indicate whether it's happening.
It does. Now, before you dust me and
yes.
I bail.
Uh-huh.
I called yesterday I found a whole bunch of 37 to 38-year-old comic books.
Oh, really?
In my closet. And I've got number one issues of, like, Legion of Monsters and Vampire Tales. And you guys are so great about your sponsors. I mean, I loved the lasagna at Pirate's Cove.
Mm-hmm. Pirate's Tavern, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And,
uh-huh.
and everybody's garden center did
yes.
all my beautiful flowers. So I was hoping, please... Somebody there knows where I should be taking these comic books.
I don't know. Drop me an email about it. We'll hook you up with Aaron. He's probably a guy who can answer them.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. All right. We'll just finish these, and then we're so behind. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I want you to be really careful about smelling Scotty's hands or fingers, because
yeah.
he might give you a stink palm.
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Banky.
Wrong.
All right, bye now. Oh, not Banky. What is the guy's name? It's not Banky. It's whatever his name is. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson
Rick
Show.
Rick has one big fiesta. I have to wonder if you're not just a little bit living vicariously through what's about to occur to Scotty.
What do you mean, sir?
Excuse me?
What do you mean, sir?
Well, I'm just saying you're having lots of lovely men come down and plant kisses on him, possibly. And maybe just a little part of you wants that as your own personal future.
You mean that I'm secretly longing to see Scotty kissed by another man?
No, you're secretly longing to be kissed yourself, but just can't allow yourself that
pleasure.
Yes, I'm living in denial of my own nature.
Your own, how should we say, binary nature.
Yes, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Let's see. Rick, is that, this email says, it sounds as if you've done your due diligence as far as Scotty's smell and search of his personal belongings. The last thing I would check would be the contents of his pockets, which would be a foolish place to hide any cigarette paraphernalia, and check his socks. Smokers have been known to hide their lighters and cigarettes in the top of their socks.
That's a good point. Does he have a lighter on him?
Scotty? He's got these weird Nike ankle socks on over here. I'm not checking those.
I don't have anything in my pockets.
All right. Okay. Well, we don't have time to talk about the guest business here, but...
But we will have guests, I guarantee that.
Uh-huh. All right.
It could be C-list.
So your guest, though, is just based upon your reaction of Chad or of the Deacon guy coming in or of Gay Bob, who's kind of a burly-looking guy. He sent me some photographs. So you're thinking probably... we probably would go with Chad, then, just based upon an initial aesthetic assessment.
I'm not thinking I want to go with any of them, but that, I guess I'll leave that up to you.
Thank you, Scotty. That's the right answer. Good for you. You're coming right along. All right, we'll take a break. Tim Riley, have ye news prepared for us?
Indeed I do.
It's all very exciting. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger, the top five, and so forth. This is the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson program. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come today, we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger, and we'll get to this top five as well. Plus, we have an exciting, attention, Scotty, we have an exciting guest tip for you. Exciting lead on someone else. We should get a board like they have in Homicide Life the Street, somebody was talking about this, where we can keep track of which guests have been attempted and which guests have been failed at. You know, every time you successfully book somebody, we'll write it in black. Every time you fail, we'll just write it in big red letters. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
100 new troopers are about to be added to the ranks of the Oregon State Police. They're going to put them in high traffic areas like Portland, Salem, and Springfield. There used to be 665 state troopers back in 1979, and although Oregon's population has boomed since then, the number of troopers has declined by more than 50%. Now, these guys will be put through months of training. They'll hit the road next March. Well, it's time to put the kids back in the trunk again. A Massachusetts father said he placed his two daughters in the trunk of his car, and it was all their idea, not his. Michael Fickety said he wanted to play in the trunk. Oh, they wanted to play in the trunk to see if they could open the hood with the emergency release.
This doesn't make any sense at all. Where is this at?
Massachusetts.
Oh, I thought you people were more civilized than that. I thought you back east people. I thought you had breeding and good manners and so forth.
Well, some of these people slipped through the cracks.
They're probably not from there.
So the kids wanted to play in the trunk and see if they could open it with the emergency release. Witness John French says that's not quite how it happened.
I just noticed this guy putting two little girls in the trunk of his car. And he walks into the building with some other people and leaves them there for 5 minutes.
What? How old were the girls?
It doesn't say, but they were visiting their mother in a Foxborough nursing home.
Okay.
Senator David Vitter takes full responsibility for dealing with an escort service in his past. The Louisiana Republican apologized to his constituents during a news conference.
I want to again offer my deep, sincere apologies to all those I have let down and disappointed with these actions from my past. I am completely responsible, and I'm so very, very sorry.
You know, by the way, this is he's really trying to thread that needle very carefully, because he's saying he's trying to appear contrite and as though he is taking responsibility. You'll note that obviously a lawyer has gone through and combed through and parsed that statement very carefully, because he's not acknowledging to actually engaging in solicitation of prostitution, which would almost require that they then prosecute him. So you can tell that even now he's trying to weasel his way out of it, because he's trying to apologize without admitting guilt, which means that they won't be able to prosecute him, which is what we really all want to see.
Here's a destroyed wife, Wendy, says she's proud to be married to such a senator.
He's a good man.
When David and I dealt with this privately years ago, I forgave David. I made the decision to love him and to recommit to our marriage.
Uh-huh. Boy, you could just tell that voice. She's just on the edge of a complete nervous implosion. You can just hear that little, subsonic trill in her voice. Like at any moment, she's just going to get giggling uncontrollably. And then they're just going to get the guys and the butterfly nets are just going to come and stick her in a hole somewhere.
She was spoken to before that. You will stay married to the senator.
Totally. There's some guy just hitting her with an elephant tranquilizer. Lies in a back room somewhere. They'll make us ship you off to that home in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll give you a new juice maker. Saying it's more convenient than cash, Alaska Airlines is expanding a pilot program to let you pay for your food and drinks with your credit or debit card on the flight.
Are you not able to do that now?
I guess not.
We tested these credit card devices on a range of flights for about a year, and what we found is that customers really enjoyed that added convenience.
We use these credit card devices in these brand new, newfangled flying contraptions that we've got. Well, whatever. All right.
Credit cards are more efficient than cash.
When you look at the total start-to-finish process of accounting for all of the cash on a flight, allowing customers to pay with their credit card is actually a more efficient way to do this than it is to have cash on flight.
I had no idea that they didn't already do that, because I don't do a lot of boozing it on the flight. So I figured if you ordered booze on a flight, they just billed it to your seat number, because you have to give them a credit card in most cases to get a plane ticket anyway. So I don't know why they don't do it that way.
No, we got to have cash. My stewardess was so rude to us last time that I paid her in pennies.
Good for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Fantastic. I really do applaud that kind of a thing. It seems like a much simpler way to do it. Again, at 9 times, I think you have to have a credit card to get a plane ticket now. I don't think you can get a plane ticket without, like you can't a rental car without a credit card. And it seems like if you're buying a bunch of stuff, they just bill it to my seat, and then it shows up on your credit card bill. That's the way they should do it anyway, because they're going to make more money off people. Because the idiot Americans never pay attention to how much money they're putting on their credit cards. Americans are just retarded, so they'll just, whatever, put it on the card, especially when you're drunk. So, man, I would have been doing that like 10, 12 years ago. Well, whatever. All right, so there you go.
Back to politics again. Mitt Romney's Mitt Romney's campaign found 970,000 ways to spend money last quarter. Apparently, he ended lending his campaign $2.35 million in the first quarter. And as of June 1st, the total climbed to $8.9 million.
There's a lot of talk for about a guy who's not going to be elected to anything.
Well, he's worth $250 million. So apparently he doesn't have to raise any money. He'll just keep throwing more money until he gets elected.
Well, good for him.
And yes, his net income is worth $250 million.
You mark my word. You can write this down. Mitt Romney is the Steve Forbes of the 2008 campaign. Vastly wealthy, kind of creepy, reptilian blinking lizard eyes. Not going to win anything at all. Ever.
Well, he spends $300 for makeup job.
Yeah, I mean. And he's just creepy. He's just a Stepford guy. He's not going to be elected to anything at all. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, talking about the Harry Potter leak.
Yes.
Yeah, it actually happened about 2 days ago at like 10 o'clock. I was on a message board and they started posting pictures of the book, and then it turns out it was from like some secret society form that you can only get into if you have a friend in there.
Sarah's like plugging her ears. Yeah. Reveal nothing, by the way. But so you saw this start to appear on a message board, and it was from some guy in some inner sanctum circle somewhere?
Yeah, and then I've actually read the entire book now, and
okay, don't give anything away, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
All right. Somebody said that the book, it's all photographs of the entire book, and they said that it's difficult to read, but it is very legible.
Yeah, it's legible. There's like out of all the pages, there's only like one picture that you couldn't read, but for the most part, everything is legible, and I don't know. It's not like there's going to be anybody at any bookstores shouting Snape killed Dumbledore or anything this year, so.
Yeah, of course not. No, of course that won't happen at all.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, here's the thing that I'm excited for, as always. I'm excited, as I am with all events like this, for the potential for human-on-human violence. And I just cannot wait for the first Nelson Muntz jackhole that decides to walk by and go, you know, I'm just making this up, but just walk by and go, Ron Weasley, you know, is killed by vultures. And then just for that crowd to grab that guy and just to beat him into a fine spreadable paste. That's going to be immensely satisfying. I really hope there are riots. I hope there are riots and brawls and just massive amounts of bloodshed over this.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jordan, there you go. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, I just got an email.
just got an email from Northwest Airlines. They're accepting PayPal now.
Is that to get your ticket?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. PayPal, you know, that's one of those services that I don't know how we got along without that. PayPal didn't exist until a few years ago, but now I can't even imagine a world in which there's no PayPal. I can't even imagine how I'd buy half the stuff I buy.
Well, yeah, they'll give you like 1,000 free, you know, miles or something like that on your freaking flyer. But, this whole Harry Potter thing, I think that book is a setup. I believe that probably the publishing company put that out there. They're taking down the IP addresses of everybody that downloads that thing, and they're going to have a massive lawsuit against.
I love this
show.
Can I just say, it really, really, where else on the dial are you going to be hearing this discussion today? I'm like, goddamn, pasty-ass Lars is going to be talking about.
Why would they wait to the last book, the most awaited book in my lifetime that I can think of, the last book of the Harry Potter series? Why would they wait till now to do that? It's a setup, Roy. It's a setup.
Well, there is actually a technical term for that. There's a term that is known. There's a term called a honeypot, and that is a phrase that I detest, by the way. But there is it came from I believe an FBI and America Online joint sting years ago called Operation Honeypot, which is where they planted a bunch of things that looked like they were of young children, blah blah blah, waited to see who downloaded them, and then went to their house and like, hello, you're under arrest. So that is now a phrase that they use to describe sort of entrapment, where they will put things online that are illegal or that purport to be copyrighted or other illicit works, and then they wait to see who downloads them, and then bam, they swoop in. So I had talked about that. It is an interesting concept that they would put this, what purports to be Harry Potter 7, out there and they just nail anybody who downloads it. But listen to this. Listen, now these, and again, we're not going to give any spoilers on the show, but listen to this. This email is, I won't say who this is from, but this is from someone I know who is reading what purports to be Harry Potter 7 right now. And he says, it is not a red herring, Rick. You can see in the pictures that the ISDN number on the publisher page matches the one registered with the Library of Congress. So, for what it's worth, the anecdotal evidence is that that it's the real deal. So
it could be a whole CIA mind control operation. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Bye now. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's news for women. Forward about the ladies. The author of a new book says every woman can be thin and fabulous. The name of this book is called Skinny Bitch. It's writer Rory Friedman is a former Ford model. She penned the advice guide to help other ladies lose weight and feel great.
I got one of those unsolicited, stupid guest booking emails from them. They wanted me to have that woman on the show. Like about a month ago, I got that.
She and her writing partner Kim's real goal is to help every woman be the best they can be.
Everybody's body's different. There's no reason to try and lose weight and get to a target number. Really, what you want to be concerned with and hung up on is, how well am I eating? How well am I taking care of this body that's got to last me a lifetime?
Skinny Bitch author Rory Friedman says you shouldn't assume that foods are healthy for you every time.
Read the ingredients, because a lot of times products that are advertised as all natural or healthy, if you look, you'll see the second ingredient is sugar, or it's got high fructose corn syrup in it. Neither of those are good for you. You really want to know what you're getting and what you're eating.
Skinny Bitch author.
The Skinny Bitch author.
Skanky whore author.
Artificial sweeteners are a big no-no when it comes to a healthy diet.
Diet sodas generally typically sweetened with aspartame. And one of the components of aspartame is methyl alcohol. And when it enters your body, it actually turns into formaldehyde.
Whatever. Scotty is... Here's just Scotty. I can get her on the show. I have her contact number, he's saying right now. Yeah, all right. Hey, Scotty, I'm looking at line one here. That's going to have to be tomorrow, unfortunately. This is just too much. So if you can apologize, tell him we'll have to do that tomorrow. We just don't have it. We're so behind. So, yeah, if you can pass it on. Thank you, sir. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
John McCain vows to keep fighting on. I promise you I will not be quitting.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone around him is quitting, and he will soon be the last person fighting on.
Let's see. We have this, and this is I'll read this, and then we'll take a break. Subject under this, stop. Rick, you really need to stop taking calls about Harry Potter. I wince every time a caller mentions that he or she has already read the book. I am afraid something is going to slip out. You are treading in dangerous waters, Mr. Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, me too. It's making me take off my headphones.
Well, see, yes, Sarah has a reason to worry. You, Tony, do not have a reason to worry, because if a guy gets on the air, and again, I don't know any spoilers about Book 7, All I know about Book 7 is what J.K. Rowling has said publicly. So I don't know anything about it. But if somebody were to get on the air and they're like, you know, and it turns out Harry is Voldemort, you know, or whatever, just whatever, obviously we would hit the dump button and you would never hear that. We would hit the dump button and that would be, we would delete that and would never make the air. We'd make sure it was out of the podcast too. That, however, would not stop Sarah and everybody here in the room from hearing the spoiler. So Sarah and I were actually talking about this during the break, that we need to have some sort of...
We need to make a pact that if one of us accidentally opens... It's her Potter pact. So if one of us accidentally opens an email and sees something that purports to be a spoiler and accidentally reads it, or a caller comes on and, like, I hear it and you don't, or you hear it and I don't, then we tell each other.
Now, but why?
An alliance of steel.
Because I don't want to be mad at you. If I accidentally open it, and then it's ruined for me.
Why would you be mad at me? Oh, because I still get the great experience and it's ruined for you?
Yes.
Look, can I just tell you this? And
blood
I'm not...
in blood.
I'm not asking people to do this, but I, you know, and if you're a good, decent person, you won't. But I do take it as just red, as the British say. That we're going to find out. I mean, I just sort of assume that, and we were talking about this during a break, that I just sort of assume that by the end of the show today, someone will tell us. That someone will call up and
people are jerks.
Because people are asses, and so some guy will call up and he'll be like, you know, he'll want to, well, Rick, that was a great point you were making about the Golden Girls third season, and by the way, Harry dies! You know, and then just hang up the phone and run away. And so I just sort of assume that by the end of today's program, I will unwittingly have been told the end of Harry Potter 7, which was leaked onto the net and really started to hit critical mass this morning with it being forwarded around. So are we making the agreement that if one of us finds out, both of us have to know?
I think so. I feel comfortable with that.
Now, what is it? Now, when you say finds out, is that a small spoiler, a big spoiler?
Any kind of spoiler. It's like if I'm out tonight and someone's like, I read the book and, you know, Hermione dies on page 23, then I'm going to call you.
Then we both have to know?
I think that should be further in the book.
All right. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. No. Why? Do you already have a spoiler?
No. But I'm saying, are we in agreement on this right now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know a spoiler.
Oh, damn it. You're a jerk. You just said you didn't.
Yeah, I know. I was lying, though. Baby, that was your pillow talk.
Well, you know, I'd rather have you tell me than have me be mad at somebody else. All right, well, are we going to try for microphones? You can tell us?
Well, here's the thing. Somebody sent me, and of course, it was a subject line that I should have paid closer attention to. So a guy sent me an email that there's a one-sentence subject line. And then, like, and I had done this thing of, I use Firefox here because it's a good browser, and you can open multiple tabs. So I had just opened, like, 10 emails at once. Because I get, you know, I get a lot of email. And so I opened, like, 10 emails, and I'm like, oh, I'll scan these during the break, see if there's anything funny that I should read or, you know, whatever. And I read one of them, and it was that thing of, like, you want to back your brain up. It's like, well, let's read this. No! And it was too late. So I'm looking at this email here. This email is two sentences. There's one sentence that is the subject line, and one sentence that is in the body of the email.
All right, I made the pact. Okay. Let's do it.
I'll tell Sarah Dillon after this. It's 503-733-2970. I will not announce it on the air, but I will reveal to Sarah Dillon this email I have received regarding Harry Potter 7. 503-733-2970. Say there's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503. This is such a great theme.
It's so pretty.
I remember every single time I've been in the theater and seen a trailer for one of the Harry Potter films, and they always catch me off guard. It's always just the Warner Brothers thing or whatever it is comes up.
Kind of like the beginning of Edward Scissorhands.
Totally. And like the movie logo will come up, and it'll be like, that's interesting. What is this trailer for? And then you hear that music, and it just gives you chills. It gives me chills now.
Mm-hmm.
So great. Like when I went to see, what is it, Nancy Drew or whatever, and the trailer for Order of the Phoenix. And they were, you know, whatever the trend. On July 11th, the rebellion begins. And then it built to this huge frenzy of noise. And the great thing they did for the trailer of Order of the Phoenix is that they didn't use this theme until the very end. The whole trailer goes through, and at the end it just goes to a black screen, and you just hear that little chiming thing. It's just fantastic. All right. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. By the way, We should make a couple blanket statements. A, we will not be revealing spoilers on this program.
We're just ruining it for ourselves so that some dick out there can't ruin it for us.
And if anybody calls up, and if you make a spoiler, if you reveal a spoiler, it will, of course, be dumped. And your call will be dropped, and we will wish death upon your family.
And if you email it to us, just be sure to note that we have a record of your email address, and
seriously,
you can do with it whatever we'd like.
You will be punished. Mailman Chris also wants to clarify that he did not spoil anything. He said, as soon as I, in the last segment, I said, someone who's read the book has spoiled blah, blah, blah. And he said he immediately got a whole flurry of text messages about it. So it is not Mailman Chris. He is not the person who has sent us spoilers about this. Let me get this one call. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I was curious, how long after the book's actually released are you going to keep it spoiler-free? Because I'm going in a complete media blackout as soon as I get my book.
As are we all. We're all going in like the weird lead-lined cave the CIA has where you can get no signals. I am going to get mine Friday night, Saturday morning, and then I'm going to do, you try to, my whole thing was to try to read it, and I was with you. No internet, no text. I was going to tell people, like, if you need to find me, you got to come to my house and send smoke signals or something. I would say probably a week. Given the fact that most of the hardcore people will probably have it read within. I mean, if you make allowances for the fact that, you know, like, kids and whatnot probably take a while to read it, maybe 3-4 days. So, I don't know, probably midweek, maybe.
Could you maybe announce when you're actually going to reveal a spoiler so we can actually change the channel briefly or turn
off? We'll have a sounder. We'll have some sort of a klaxon, some sort of spoiler alert klaxon. So
that would be awesome.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Let's see. Okay, so Dennis Pittenberger is here. Hello, sir.
How are you?
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, as always. Glad to join the show. I'm glad that... I want to say first, for you to make the reference that I'm a geek... When off air, I say, you know, it's kind of like if someone hasn't seen the Star Wars film and they get in a room and we want to talk about Star Wars and I go, the movie with the guy who drove the Corvette and had the hooker in the van.
You reference Corvette Summer.
Yeah, and you call me a geek.
Yeah,
I was saying...
It's not necessarily a bad thing, I'm just saying. Just making the observation. Not everybody references Corvette Summer. Corvette Summer. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? There's just
a horrible film in its own right, by the way.
It's a terrible film.
It
really is. It really is.
I appreciate the love. You know what? I appreciate both your and Sarah's devout following of Harry Potter and all the books because it's a huge deal. I've only seen the first one. So for me to have any kind of educated guess or even, I could just say like someone, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say or even to follow this. I guess I have to go in that same dark cave that is lined with lead and watch all the movies up to date so I'll know what the hell is going on.
Yeah. All right. So I don't even know how to handle this. So let's see. We got phone calls to get to. Let me just back up. For those who came in late, I always feel like we used to run this years ago. We used to have a thing we ran at the beginning of the show that said previously on the Rick Emerson Show, and it was done just like one of those like CSI type openers. And it had it was Kim Morgan had voiced a thing for us, and we had it edited together. And it was sort of like that thing Likas plays on Friday, his Friday montage, but it was a previously on the Rick Emerson Show. I always feel like we need one of those on days like this. So this is really a great time. You know, really, there are days and moments and weeks when just this is the best job in the world to have. I mean, it's pretty much the best job in the world anyway. But there are days that it's better than others, like when Paris Hilton goes to jail or when the Harry Potter book is leaked. Just because, you know, a show like this, you really are at just the nerve center. You're right there at the nucleus of the whole cultural discussion. So as of about 8 o'clock last night, Harry Potter 7 leaked on the net. And we've said numerous times that we all started getting text messages last night around 8:30 from various nerdy friends. Go, watch your inbox. Be careful. You know, dive. Don't avert your eyes. Don't look at it, Marion. You know, and a whole bunch of people telling us not to look at our inbox because we were going to get spoiled.
Can you bring me up to speed in like three sentences about when the movie's supposed to come out, when the book's supposed to come out?
Well, the movie won't be out for years because the movie's come 2 years after the book, typically.
Okay, so what book are we on versus how many?
This is the final book coming out Friday.
Okay, so how many books has there been? Like 12?
Six.
Oh, six. Okay, I thought it was
more. The seventh and final book comes out this Friday night.
And there will be no more?
No, well... I mean, she said she won't rule it out, but I mean, it is the natural conclusion of the series this Friday.
Because the only thing I really know about it is the fact that the kid who plays Harry Potter was on People magazine, and he made like $50 million for this.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of my knowledge.
So
I would imagine that if he gets paid $50 more million, I'm going to do the
movie. Good news, bad news about this job is that we kind of get the inside line on a lot of things. You know, we get, you know, maybe invited to stuff that we wouldn't get invited to otherwise. I mean, I wouldn't lie about that. You know, we get to go to some cool places and see some people, and we get advanced scoop, as they say. We get the inside dope on some things. But, of course, on a day like today, it's a mixed blessing because about 10 minutes into the show, I started getting emails with subject lines like, don't read this if you don't want to know what happens to Harry. And so that took about an hour to transmagrify into a bunch of dicks just emailing me with subject lines like, about fending off a grizzly bear attack. And then I would open it, and it would be something about the Harry Potter book. So the bastardizing, the bastard brigade has already, they're already out in full force. Here's what we're going to do, and I've got some other Harry Potter-related emails, because it is what everybody's talking about today, and so maybe you're a fan, maybe you're not. I am, but even if you're not, it is the thing dominating the culture today. And I really was astounded that CNN didn't have somebody talking about it. I really hope they get on the stick and start covering that. It's a big story. I don't mean to sit and sound like I'm just trying to shove Harry Potter talk down on people who don't care about it, but really, even if you're not a Harry Potter fan, this is a big story. This is, I would say, the most anticipated book in the history of modern publishing. I mean, it's the most pre-ordered book in history. She is the wealthiest author in the history of the world, even more so than Stephen King. She is the most cash-rich author in history.
You are kidding me.
She has out-earned Stephen King. Harry Potter.
How much is she worth? Like multiple billion.
She's a billionaire.
Right?
Yeah, billionaire. She has made more money than Stephen King, and he's the gold standard. She's out-earned him.
Way more than Stephen King spits out a new novel like every 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you know what? Stephen King is prolific, and his novels sell well, but her novels sell fantastically well.
Wow. That's already over 2 million pre-ordered.
Every Harry Potter book is the 65 Mustang, to put it in your terms.
Wow.
I mean, every Harry Potter book from the first one has been a phenomenon. What is the most every Harry Potter, I mean, put it another way, every Harry Potter book is the Ford Taurus. You know, it's revolutionary. It's astounding.
And no matter what it is, everybody wants one.
So I don't have the list in front of me, but I saw a list of the 25 best-selling books of all time. 25 best-selling books ever. That includes, like, the Bible. That includes the Book of Mormon. That includes Chairman Mao's Little Red Book and Harry Potter. The Harry Potter books, all of them were on the list. The top 25 selling books in human history, and every one of the Harry Potter books is on the list.
Now, I couldn't have trumped the Bible.
No, but I mean, but dude, you're on the same list as the GD Bible, as the freaking Bible. I mean, come on. So the fact that this has leaked, I mean, this is a watershed moment for not only publishing, but for the Internet. This is one of those Internet moments that they will look back and they will say, you know, in 20 years when they're doing the documentary, they'll say one of the turning points, one of the defining moments of the Internet age was when the most anticipated book in history was available on the Internet before it was in stores. Imagine if Sergeant Pepper had been available on, you know, everywhere a month before it came out.
I have a question for you. Do you think that that will somehow change publishing as if the Internet, the way that the digital age has changed broadcasting?
It has to. I mean, it's like, I cannot even imagine what they're going to do to the guy who leaked this when they find him.
Oh, he'll get kneecapped in a heartbeat.
I cannot. They spent $10 million, which is, I forget how it works. Is that $20 million?
It's 2.5 or something.
It's millions of dollars. They spent $10 million on a security company to keep this from happening. I mean, when they find the guy who did this, and they will, I mean, they're going to break him. I mean, the guy who did this is going to be the sorriest bastard who ever lived.
Yeah, or that, or some Saudi prince paid him that much money to, you know, get the book, and now he's, you know.
It's an amazing thing. It really is. So, that having been said, and again, I want to be very clear, we will not spoil anything on this program. And if
we'll just spoil it for ourselves.
And if you reveal a spoiler on the air, it will be deleted. That being said, I have received unwittingly, as I knew I would, spoilers in my email. Now, Sarah and I made this pact, this nerd pact, that if one of us found out the spoilers, we would share it with the other so that we both suffered equally. So, that being said,
because since you did say this is our job, we would suffer eventually.
We're taking a bullet.
We might as well just do it ourselves.
We're taking a bullet.
So are we going to turn off our microphones?
So we will turn off our microphones. Why don't you play the Harry Potter theme? And you turn up your mic, and I will come read you these spoilers.
Okay.
All right, Sarah's walking over. Let me make sure that I've got this here. Let's see. Make sure that I've All right. Okay. So, turning off. Okay, I'm turning off my microphone now. There you go. That's all I got.
Okay.
Now, I don't. Now, it should be said, I don't even know if those are real.
But that guy said that he read the whole book, right?
Yeah, he's, I mean, that is certainly the indication. So, that claims to be...
I don't get that second one that you showed me, though.
That purports to be the final line of the book. That right there, that purports... That's. I'm assuming that is the final line of the book.
Like in...
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Now, this, and I'm...
Oh, that gave me goosebumps reading it, though.
And this is not a spoiler, because J.K. Rowling has said this publicly. She said for a long time, and again, this is not a spoiler, she said this in many interviews. J.K. Rowling said for a long time that the final word of the book was Scar, but that when it came time and it was finished, it was no longer, that she changed it. She said for a long time the final word of the book was Scar.
So that's why you're assuming that maybe the sentence that you showed me is actually
yes,
the last line.
Yes, because she said that she eventually rewrote the final sentence. So that seems very much to be the final sentence of the book.
As big fans, do you feel better, like you've said for the last couple hours, that you two have done that together before someone can actually, like...
I do, because
I don't want some Nelson Muntz idiot calling up and just being a dick.
Yeah, and I don't want him to be like, oh, I ruined something that's really, you know, like, kind of exciting for some
people. I got one over in Rick and Sarah, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take that bullet beforehand.
Yeah,
you know what? Somebody sent that to you in a nice way, because they're like, if you want to know, this is what it is.
Yeah, so, you know. So, I mean, I'll, you know, whatever. I'll bite that bullet. And here's the other thing. And I said this early on. This is really true about Harry Potter. Is that... These books are not enjoyable just for the final few pages. It's not like it's going to ruin the experience as such. I mean, they're great books. They hold up on a reread. You can read those books a dozen times and they're still great. It's great if you don't know the surprise ending. That's, you know, that's good, of course. But it doesn't matter. Even if you do, you know what? Let me put it this way. I know that Vader is Luke's father. Empire's still a great movie. Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. I know
who Kaiser Soze is. I've seen The Usual Suspects 40 times.
Hey, every time I hear Journey music, I want to puke, but you know what? It's still, I go, every time it comes on HBO, you know what I do? I watch the goddamn last episode.
When we went to see The Usual Suspect, Court and Fatboy did The Usual Suspects midnight movie, and you know what? I've seen The Usual Suspects a few dozen times. Every time but the first one, I knew what was coming. That movie is still great. Usual Suspects is still a fantastic movie, even though I know the ending. This will still be a great book. Should we break here? Oh, no, we don't have a break right now.
We can just keep on
babbling.
Okay,
we got a couple calls.
Torture people.
We have a couple...
We care about Harry Potter. So.
We have a couple calls here.
I haven't heard any, like, nan.
Hey, by tomorrow... By the way, tomorrow at 11:30... Thank you, Scotty. Tomorrow at 11:30, we'll be talking with somebody from Powell's Books. So tomorrow at 11:30, tomorrow's show, 11:30, we'll be talking with a representative of Powell's Books about the Harry Potter.
All right, well, I'm going to take off my filter on my Gmail now.
Yeah, I mean, those seem pretty real.
And
and especially in the context to which they were said.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that.
Now you guys are going to go down and wait in line, or you are? And
I still will, because I think it's a cool experience. I dig it. I really do. Okay. I mean, I think it's...
I waited in a line that went all the way around the old Division... I don't even remember what it's called now. The old Royal Moore Theater, the one that was down there on Division.
Right.
For Star Wars. Made my dad sit in line for 3 hours.
I waited in line for all three prequels, and two of those were crap. So, I mean, you know...
I waited in line for Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. I waited in line for the Blair Witch Project because it was an event. It was thing.
Oh, yeah.
Bad movie, great event. I mean, I'll wait. Who am I kidding? Like, I won't be in line for Indiana Jones 4?
You have to appreciate the, whatever you want to call it, geekitude or whatever, but you have to appreciate that for each person's love. Yeah. I mean, if there was some sort of, like, this is the next Model T, and you have to wait in line for 18 hours to see it, I'm there.
Yeah. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
What's
this
up?
This is Charlie.
Hey.
I was calling because I have a young son, and I was considering getting the Harry Potter books to read to him, like, at bedtime and stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to
he'll
know...
He'll be, like, 100 years old by the time you're done, by the way. He'll be in college.
He'll hate me before we're done with the book,
yeah.
So it'll work out perfectly.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's only 3, though, and I didn't know if it was too dark. I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
Well, it depends on how quickly you move through the books. By the time you get to book five, book six are pretty brutal. I wouldn't be reading book six to a 3-year-old. But by the same token, the books get longer as you go on, so... You know, if it takes a couple years to get to book 5 or 6, you'll probably be okay. You know, as you go on, you will probably be able to gauge. The books get steadily darker, so you will be able to gauge whether he's able to tolerate it or not. If he can't tolerate it, you know, by the end of book 2 or so, you'll probably know whether or not he can handle it.
Well, it can't possibly be worse than, like, Grimm's fairy tales or anything like that.
No, but I mean, there's, you know, but they are pretty dark. There are moments in book 6, Half-Blood Prince, when I read that, and I'm like, you know, there's no way they can make this into a movie that kids can go see. There's moments in the sixth Harry Potter book that are just unbelievably creepy and dark and evil and weird. But the series doesn't start that way, especially the first book is very... very, very, not lighthearted, but pretty, you know, pretty acceptable for kids. You'll know early on whether or not he's going to be able to tolerate it, yeah.
Okay, cool. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. I was wondering about you. I've heard you talk about that before, how it supposedly has gotten darker and darker and more evil. Being a person that's only seen the first one, it just seems like it was a lot more family. I don't know. How do you transpose evil and darkness into a little kid movie?
Well, see, and people, I've gotten a lot of email about
this. Obviously, you've done it well. So.
I don't know whether we'll have time to do a lot of these. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of the Harry Potter discussion this week. There's just no getting around that. I got 2 emails back to back.
It's like we're a geek show, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we are.
I got these 2 emails back to back, and this is they're very much at the same point. This one says, Rick... I've read no Harry Potter and I've only seen the first movie, but I'm curious about the statement that people keep making about how great it is that so many children and adults stand in line to read this book. He says, I'm not trying to be annoyingly contrarian or superior for having not read them, but isn't it geared towards children? Isn't praising the series for inspiring adults to read a lot like saying that we're a well-informed nation because we read USA Today? Is it really that well-written that children can be drawn to it without adults being bored by the writing? I would say this. Here's the thing. I don't really draw, in a lot of ways, a distinction between adult books and so-called children's books. I think there are simply good books and bad books. And I would also say this. It's not a children's book in the way that, like, The Very Hungry Caterpillar is a children's book. It's not for very small... It's not a preschool book. I would also say this. Children's books are very hard to write. I'd say that children's books are a lot harder to write well than adult books. You think about the great children, and I'm not talking about like a picture book. I mean like an actual story-based, text-based book for kids that is done really well. Those are far and few between, relatively speaking. It is a lot harder to write a well-done children's book. You think about some of the classic children's books of our time. Even stuff that is very, you know, very childlike, like a Beverly Cleary book, or you think about something like The Bridge to Terabithia, or A Cricket in Times Square. Those books, or The Chronicles of Narnia. Those books, I think, are really difficult. To write well. And I'll tell you this, that to this day, you know, and I'm not embarrassed of this. I'm 34 years of age, and I'll tell you what, to this day, some of my favorite books are children's books. I've said this a bunch of times, that, you know, I read well into, like, actual adulthood. I read the book Harriet the Spy probably 50 times.
I reread all my, like, Judy Blume books and everything whenever I go to visit my parents.
Yeah.
I still have all of them. I'll just read stacks of them when I'm over there relaxing.
This idea that there's somehow shame to be found in there being a high-quality children's book is just retarded. Ridiculous.
Also, what about attention span? I mean, I have an almost 2-year-old. I mean, to write something that can gain the attention of children and still hold the attention of an adult, I mean, you have to give her credit. She's earned those billions.
Yeah, I mean, it does. doesn't, and that's the other thing. It's like saying that I'm not allowed to enjoy Shel Silverstein because Shel Silverstein is written for kids. Doesn't matter who it's written for. It's whether it's whether, like, there's another one. This one says, Rick, can you explain the can you explain to me why adults get so excited about something which has been written for 12 to 16 year olds? To me, that's a lot like saying that I'm not allowed to enjoy Star Wars because I'm 34, you know, and Star Wars was made for young children. That's like saying that I'm not allowed to enjoy, you know, the Goonies, that I'm not allowed to enjoy. I mean, there's movies made for children, which are fantastic, which are, I mean, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons were made for children. I think it's a false distinction.
I'm sorry. I was going to say something just kind of came to the top of my head. If you look at the similarity between original, like, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck cartoons, the way that they were written for children, but with the overtones of something an adult would enjoy and yet understand, it's almost a parallel between the way someone like the Harry Potter books have written. It's like, it's something that I guess being in here right now with you guys, I'm seeing clarity, or I'm gaining clarity. And how much you enjoy it. I mean,
they're simply, and again,
I remember I used to think they were ridiculous. Like, I worked at Red Robin for a summer, and, like, you know, these lonely people would come in clutching their huge Harry Potter books, and totally. I'm like, oh, I'd never read those. And then if you kind of get the, it's almost like a snobbiness.
It is. Well,
out of your head, and you actually sit down, and you're like, wow, this is actually really entertaining. It reminds you of kind of being a kid and being thrust in, like, this
totally.
Weird magical land.
And there is a certain reflexive cynicism that you have to get past of disliking something because of, A, its popularity, and B, disliking it because of the people you see enjoying it. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, we're all big dorks here, but let's be honest. There's a lot of people in certain facets of culture that are just embarrassing. I mean, there's, and that's not just geek culture. Every car culture, gun culture, comic book culture, TV culture,
video games.
I mean, political stripes. But yeah, I mean, there are segments of all political parties. There are segments of, like, my wife has bemoaned for a long time that, you know, my wife is a big granola-chomping feminist, and she has bemoaned for some times that there were certain segments of that culture that just made them all look retarded. So it is with Harry Potter people. Look, I'll tell you this right now. Here's a perfect analogy. I'm a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. I don't care who knows that. A hot chick fighting demons is badass. But you know what? Goddamn, Buffy fans are just the most irritating freaks on earth, I will tell you. And I don't mean casual fans like myself. I mean really hardcore Joss Whedon fans are just the most irritating people. Here's how irritating they are. And I told this story a few weeks ago, that a lot of Star Trek fans lately have started demanding that Buffy fans not be allowed at Star Trek conventions because the Trek fans find them too freaky.
Whoa.
True story. So
You
can't judge it by the people who follow it, and I will concur with Sarah on this. You know what I read a while back, pretty recently, that I hadn't read for a long time? I actually read James and the Giant Peach by Roald Dahl, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, actually. And you know what? Those are both written for children probably under the age of 10. You know, anybody of any age who goes back and reads one of those Roald Dahl books, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and cannot acknowledge that it's simply a great piece of writing, you know, is somebody who is just trying to be a little cooler than they really are, you know?
I have a question for Sarah. Looking,
yes, sir.
Myself, now looking at the way that you guys embrace Harry Potter, can you then somehow associate that with when you look, you know, when you, I mean, I know we give you a hard time about your eyes rolling back in your head about when we start talking about video, you know, geeking out on video games and whatnot. Can you then see the parallel between those two things?
Oh, yeah, I've always been able to see it. I mean, I've known Rick for years, too, so I know that he gets geekily obsessed about these kind of things.
No, okay. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, and that goes for any kind of, you might, you know, everybody in the room's called the other one a geek for whatever reason. I think it's good that you see the parallel between these things, because I'm a car geek. I could sit and talk. I mean, if I started talking about cars right now, within 3 minutes, I'm in here alone. Yeah. And I know that. Okay. And it's just to say, it's interesting how you watch people look at the other side of the fence. It's not that the grass is greener, it's just sometimes it's colored in a different way.
That was amazingly profound.
Yeah.
That was actually like a philosophical statement you just made.
Okay, here, I'll counter that.
Now belch and talk about boobs.
I was just going to say boobs.
All right. Sarah, do you want to do news or do you want to break?
Oh, we can do some news. And then, yeah, and then we will have to break.
Tim Riley, have ye news for us?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. And then a guy's going to talk about, this is so great, look at this call on the screen. Ryan wants to talk about opening of IKEA / human violence. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, Patsy would be on the line because the big IKEA opening, this is like Portland's version of those British people coming over. It's going to be like a celebrity opening without the celebrities.
Wednesday, July 25th, they hired 40 cops and are paying them $120,000 to help with traffic. This is the most traffic that'll ever be in this neighborhood because there was nothing there before. This is like off I-205 on the way to PDX. And
every time I go to the airport, you know, it's right there. And Laura just, you know, salivates when she sees it. Every time we pass that IKEA, she's like, how many days do you suppose it's going to be?
So, the 25th.
Yeah.
And the good part of it, it's on the Max line, too. And it's going to hire hundreds of people.
Hooray. I just don't care about IKEA. I'm not trying to be down on it, but I do think that that is...
I already hate it because, you know, airport traffic is just going to be hell from now on.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Please do.
I don't understand, and again, we just came off the whole thing of people not understanding Harry Potter. I don't understand IKEA. Because you know what, and I go back to my wife, not to pick on her, she and her friends, it's like be three girls and they'll rent a minivan and they'll drive to Seattle for the weekend just to shop at IKEA. I don't understand what that's all about. Discuss.
I mean,
what is it? Is IKEA, and I'm not trying to be, I really don't know, is it like, is the stuff there better? Is it higher quality or something?
The idea, I believe, the idea behind IKEA is the fact that you can go there and buy something that looks like it's $10,000 and you can buy it for $100.
Right.
IKEA is my own personal hell. I hate IKEA.
Excellent.
Why do you hate IKEA?
Oh, my God. I have been trapped in there for like 2 hours without any way to get out, like caught between strollers and suburban people trying to get good deals on a coffee table.
I thought maybe they just want to
punch everybody.
They chain the doors closed.
And then they have all these arrows. Yeah, they have these arrows that lead you absolutely nowhere.
It's like being in Vancouver. I'm so glad, though, because I was...
My face is getting flushed thinking about it. And then they lead you to back to the beginning, and then you can't go out the beginning because they won't let you out.
I was kind of afraid just now, reflexively, thinking that you would love it because you're a woman, and it seems like women all love IKEA. I'm so glad you don't. God bless you.
Well, speaking of that, I think we have a caller that wants to comment on IKEA. Thank you, Scotty, for setting all this up.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, as far as the Max Line thing goes that you just said, you know, the Max Line goes there. Think about this, the fact that most people go there to buy furniture, and then they're going to get back on the train.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's only one of two things. They'll either take the Max to IKEA, buy a bunch of crap they can't, then get home, or...
You have the bookcase fall on your head as you're standing there waiting for the next...
Not on my head. It'll be on your head, Tim Riley. Or they'll make the traffic even worse by caravanning their big fat-ass SUVs out there to buy a bunch of press board or whatever and bring it on home. So, yeah.
I was reading the Oregonian article on it, though, on my lunch break today, and they were talking about how they're afraid that it's going to create all this massive amounts of traffic, which is why they have all the cops out there directing traffic and everything for like 5 days.
Well, there's people camping, and I can't wait to buy a coffee table. And so I really hope there's violence. I really do. Well, I just hope that there's fist fights.
Well, so they're saying that they have had actual occurrences, though, where there have been... they were talking about somewhere in the Midwest there was actual riot at the opening day.
An IKEA riot. That's the whitest possible riot there could ever be.
They had to to close the store and reopen because there was a riot at the store. But the absolute best, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but apparently there's an IKEA in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, good Lord.
That's not IKEA, that's Alkelia.
Well, that's just it. When they opened it, I think they said 9 people died.
Scotty, here's
a rule.
Prices have been cut and heads. Here's the only thing you need to know about IKEA is this. Scotty has just typed on the screen, IKEA is my favorite store next to Costco. So that's all ye know, sir, and all ye need know. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Jerry Seinfeld is making a return of sorts to the small screen. NBC says he'll guest star in the second season premiere of 30 Rock from the Sun, playing himself. He says, it's been so refreshing for me to play myself on a show. It has nothing to do with my former characters. Also, Rosie O'Donnell says she will not be on Donald Trump's Apprentice. She said, forget it. It'll never happen in this lifetime or beyond, said her spokesperson.
All right.
That's that.
I just keep imagining riots at IKEA. Get the guy in the tan Camry. Which one?
It's not a riot. It's just a bunch of slap fights. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all the world. He'll be back at 4, 5, 6, and 7, top of the hour, all the way through Likas. I'll play us into the break here. We'll come back more from Dennis Pitzenbarger and so forth. Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. This fat boy from KUFO just noted that we, along with KUFO, We're helping to sponsor. They're screening Firefly at the Mission, I think, and we're one of the sponsors. So there's like a DVD, there's like a taped intro with Court Fatboy and myself, and he was noting how I just did a whole rant about how the Whedon fans are really irritating. So
is that the Mission down by Skidmore Fountain?
I think so. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Whedon, and you know most of his fans are normal, but goddamn, that one little segment of Whedon's fan base, they're just as nutty could possibly be. There's just no getting around it. All right, speaking of Court and Fatboy, here's something that I don't know how the quality on this is, but this is something from this program out about a year or so ago, featuring Court and Fatboy in the studio with us. Back after this, this is What a Geek Believes. You stay right there.
I believe that Han shot first. I believe that Ally Sheedy was hotter before Molly Ringwald cleaned her up.
Yeah.
I believe in miniatures, models, claymation, and not revealing the shark until you absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that George Lucas, for better or worse, changed the way we see the world, mm-hmm. ourselves, and each other. And I believe that we will someday reach those stars that he himself made visible. I also believe George Lucas to be a narrow-minded, money-grubbing, pig-headed slave to the now,
yes.
who ought to be locked away from his own creations, lest he do them further harm. I believe that Jean-Luc Picard is the better starship captain, but I do believe that James Tiberius Kirk is infinitely cooler. I believe that children standing in line to buy a book at midnight is fantastic. I believe that reading makes you smart and schools make you dumb. I believe that any episode of Futurama is better than any program featuring a precocious teenager, wise beyond their years. I also believe that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the sole exception that proves this rule. I believe that comic books are an art form, yes. and will someday be recognized as such. I believe that good shows die too young, and crap shows last too long. I believe that boycotts, petitions, and sending the president of Fox lots of candy will never save a program, that only heads on spikes will ever do that trick. I believe that Eddie Izzard is the funniest man alive, and I don't give a good goddamn whether you've ever heard of him or not. It's still true. I believe that a girl who likes movies about zombies is hotter than whoever's on the cover of Maxim this month.
That's my girl. That's my chick.
I believe that Belloc ate that fly.
Yes.
And I swear to God that I heard Luke call Leia Carrie. And I believe that Samwise Gamgee never quite got the credit he really deserved. I believe in magic. I believe in dreams. I believe in the power of music, movies, and the untold worlds inside an everyday library card. And I do not believe that the geeks will inherit the earth. I believe we already have.
Well, bookies, this is not a spoiler. Bookies in, I feel compelled to say all the time now, bookies in Britain won't even take action on whether Harry dies because they're so convinced that he does. That's all I'm going to say. Is that bookies in Britain, that's straight out of a newspaper, that's out of the Mirror, I think. Bookies in Britain will no longer take any action on whether Harry dies because it's considered such a, considered such a goner. Before we were here with Dennis Pittenbarger, what's coming up on Miles Around this weekend?
Well, actually, we're going to be at the Car Toys Car
That's
Show.
Right.
We're doing a live remote for this very fine station, AM 970. We are going to be down at the Portland Meadows parking lot doing a live remote down there. We're going to have all the cars out there. We're going to have about 50, 60 cars out there. It's going to be a real cool shindig. And we're going to have our Project Tundra out there. It's going to be a really great event. If you have a chance, stop by, check it out. You'll also be able to peruse through just a cavalcade of discounted stereo stuff. Get a phone. Get a, you know, you can all drop your $600 on a new iPhone. Just
Excellent.
Get down there and get to it. Should be a fun deal. You know, we got that coming up. And I'm also going to be... I went down to Bank Speedway last weekend and did some guest MC work up there in the booth, and they're going to have me come back and do some guest work up there as well as drive a couple of the race cars again.
Very cool. So check out milesaround.com and listen to that live broadcast this Saturday, 9 to 11. We can just as we wrap things up here.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me...
Good morning, Metolia.
All right. Real quickly here, Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. As we progress forward, Dennis had an observation to make about your stop smoking regimen.
Right.
Big kiss on the neck right there. Thank you. So Dennis,
now you got one on me.
So Dennis leaned in like he was sniffing to see if Scotty had been smoking. Right there, kiss on the neck, and now Scotty is turning several shades of crimson.
Totally red.
Well, that was funny. Caught me by surprise.
Did you enjoy the feel of his stubble against your soft flesh?
It was total stubble on my neck. It was, yeah.
All I know is, man, you got to take one less squirt of the smelly good, brother.
All right. Milesaround.com. Listen to Dennis Pitzenberger do that live broadcast this Saturday 9 to 11. We also want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum and Lisa Goddard. We have anybody else on today? I guess not. All right. Join us tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show when we'll be talking to somebody from Powell's about the Harry Potter sale. Also, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, the PA, Scotty J, and the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Don't let the masters grind it down. Do try to help the retarded. Watch out for snakes. See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.